Who's Afraid of Summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, the Steve Cochran Show for Wednesday morning, 720 WGN, the morning after at least one election. Now we look forward to another one, but at least we got one out of the way, and we'll be going over all of the results of that coming up on the show this morning. Dave Ennett here, Mary Sandberg Boyle. Joe on the other side of the glass this morning. No Justin, no Pete. Justin recovering from the election coverage last night. Did a great job here on WGN Radio.
Yeah, they did a great job. And he, I think he was pumped. You know, he had predicted when I had taken everyone's predictions last week, he had predicted Preckwinkle and Lightfoot. So he said, pull the tape, I think, in our group text message chain. He was pretty proud of that.
I saw that. I saw that.
Now, I was like, oh, brother.
We don't run this, though, like our football pool.
No, we do not.
Right. So, I mean, it doesn't... the bragging award. Rights go yeah. away pretty quickly on this one.
They Wait, do we do it better than the football thing or worse?
Well, the name of it's better because there's no name. There's no wang dang doodle attached to it.
That's correct. All right, let's get to the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Well, not one, not two, but three giant stories. Three giant stories. You got the president in North Korea. You got the president under the gun with Michael Cohen. And oh, by the way, Chicago will have the first African American female mayor after last night. Can we call it Lori Lightfoot night? Why not? Tony yeah. Preckwinkle was expected to be there. Who saw right. that coming?
Right.
I don't know, but her speech was great.
Yeah, she's impressive.
Wonderful. She's very impressive.
Pat Brady and Justin Kaufman thought Lori Lightfoot would be in it.
Well, we're not giving them credit.
So they saw it, but I don't know who else. I like when she came up there and she's like, hey, what do you think of me now?
What yeah, time is Pat Brady joining us to explain all this?
In 10 minutes.
Okay. Stand by for that. We'll continue with all the other stuff going on. The Michael Cohen testimony today as well. Next! Or next! I'm still getting over this cold. Alderman Ed Burke, undeterred by federal corruption charges, has a big lead in the 14th. That's not final yet, but it looks like Ed Burke's going to win. No big surprise.
No.
Pardon me?
What happens, and I just don't know the rules of that, if, you know, he wins, but then...
He goes to jail?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. I believe there's a special
election.
It's
the first runner-up, isn't it? The first runner-up.
Well, it makes sense, but it's Chicago aldermanic politics. I believe, and I could be wrong about this, but I believe Bennett Wakenight automatically fills in for any alderman who goes to jail.
Our producer?
Mm-hmm. He's got the voice for it.
I was going to say he is the voice of, like, Loyola men's volleyball, so...
What?
That's why he's getting the gig.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Michael Cohen will publicly testify today that President Trump knew an advisor was communicating with WikiLeaks and knew that Donald Trump was colluding with Russia. That's today. Later on, again, more on that. 21 pages of testimony that have been released so far. Next, Andre Darlis reported last night on the turnout numbers right after the polls. 30% record low in Chicago. So if you supported Susana Mendoza or Gary Chico or Bill Daley and didn't vote, well, we've had this talk before, haven't we?
Right. And then they were saying that the Jerry Joyce people split the Bill Daley vote.
Uh-huh.
So if he wasn't in there, Bill Daley, it'd be Lightfoot and Bill Daley, is what the math shows.
Well, you can make the argument that Jeb Daley should have done better to begin with.
Yeah, and it looks like in the wash, the turnout numbers are going to be a little bit better than 30. It looks like maybe 34.
Oh, that's good.
Could be 36 when it's all
said. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the kids did not vote.
The millennials did absolutely not vote. I think 8 of them did.
Yeah,
eight total?
In November, 189,000 of them showed up, and then fewer than 52,000 today or yesterday.
Yeah, well, this is part of the problem with the system, too, with the and there's no excuse for not voting, but the system being that the mayoral vote takes place in February. Some stuff's got to change.
And the millennials are waiting for an app.
Yeah, no, so a lot of people are.
Yeah.
Next. The National Guard's looking at possible punishment for Adam Kinzinger's criticism of the Wisconsin governor. The Wisconsin governor serves as the, I don't know the title. What is the title of the Wisconsin governor to oversee the National Guard? Anyway, the member of the Guard can't criticize the boss.
The overseer of the National Guard. I believe that's the formal title.
And Adam Kinzinger will have to get a formal statement together to Bennett Wakenight to make sure that all is okay in his world.
And I don't know if you know that. I think that Lori Lightfoot actually took the lead because she came into this show on the day of the polar vortex. So people
she
know
did.
She's
yeah,
Chicago
she did.
Tough.
The coldest day
and we
ever.
Had a couple candidates who were like, I'm not sure if we're going to come in because it's chilly, if you recall. And Justin prodded them that was a bad look. But Lori Lightfoot came in.
How about Bill Daley? He doesn't show up for the debate on Fox 45 minutes before the debate starts. And the temperature that night was fine.
Right. They were saying on the news, is that the first Daley concession speech ever?
Well, that's a good point.
Or maybe they have a high school election under their belts or something.
That's
way
back
when.
Richard M. Daley lost his first race for mayor against Eugene Sawyer.
Ah, but you're right. Yep, yep, okay. Yep. And finally this, another political story. Not really. Jenna Bush Hager will replace Kathy Lee Gifford on the fourth hour of the Today Show. Does that mean she needs to start drinking more?
I think so.
Okay. That is your Top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
We need to continue to have this very important dialogue about our city's future, about the narrative of who we are going to be, to break from the past and have a vision for the future that includes all of us.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, it's down to two. Lori Lightfoot and Tony Preckwinkle, and Pat Brady joins me now. Pat, you've been counting votes forever. You are, when I was a little kid and I was playing Strat-O-Matic baseball, you were out walking to precincts with your father and figuring out where votes would drop. So how did Lori Lightfoot get this done?
I think that clip you just played and her message did it. I think it was a change election. People want something different. She was able to articulate that well, like she did in that clip, and that's why she won. She violated that one conventional wisdom. In a low turnout election, you usually think that the person with the organization is going to prevail. And Tony Preckwinkle, chairman of the Democratic Committee in Cook County, all the institutional help didn't get the vote that Lori did. Lori did a great job.
Did you see anything or talk to anybody that could tell you where the votes dropped in her favor?
I had not seen that yet. I was looking at the map. I was more interested in what happened with Bill Daley, or looking into it. Clearly, and Sandberg mentioned it a couple minutes ago, Jerry Joyce killed Bill Daley. Jerry Joyce won in areas, 19th ward, in those areas that would have traditionally been strong for Bill Daley.
Yeah, but Bill Daley didn't look interested, I mean, the entire time. And I know that's kind of his face. But, along with not showing up for the Lincoln Forum debate 45 minutes before the debate, there were other forums he blew off, and he just didn't seem all that interested in being mayor.
Yeah, I think that might be more of just a product of his personality. I think he's kind of low key. I mean, he raised a lot of money, and he did show up for a lot of places. I watched a lot of the debates. It was a change election, and it's going to be interesting to see. Actually, when I turned the news on at 10 o'clock, I thought Bridget Gaynor had won.
Well, that's explain that to me, because you're also a political strategist and you work with people and try to get them to do the right thing as candidates occasionally. If you're Tony Preckwinkle, well, first off, and I guess this is a rookie mistake, Lori Lightfoot, should have waited. She won this round. She should have waited until Tony Preckwinkle spoke and then gotten her share of the closing act credit. But then Tony Preckwinkle doesn't show up on time to make a speech on the 10 o'clock news on every channel. What is she thinking?
Yeah, you know, that's the slot you want to get. You want to get there right at 10 o'clock when everyone's flipping off from Survivor or whatever and they're watching the news. And that's where you want to be. And last night, I was watching, I go, oh, there's Tony Preckwinkle. I go, man, it looks an awful lot like Bridget Gaynor, who was introducing Tony Preckwinkle. And it got even more awkward because Bridget gave a phenomenal introduction. And she goes, and here's Tony Preckwinkle. And Tony Preckwinkle wasn't there yet. So there was about a six-minute gap where Bridget was doing a, kind of a stand-up routine, keeping everybody pumped up, and then Tony came out. But yeah, that was that's a bad mistake. But to Lori Lightfoot, I think what happened is Tony Preckwinkle squatted on that 10 o'clock spot. She told people early on she wasn't coming out till 10, so I think she was maybe trying to beat her to the punch. But that was not a good moment for the Preckwinkle campaign. That's such an important part of the campaign because that's the first step of the actual final election.
And that's an easy one.
That's a Hollywood yeah. 10, you know. Yeah.
That's easy. That's easy. You're just standing in the back and you come out.
I have the
You know what though? Didn't Bridget look good though? I thought kind of wanted
Bridget did a great job. Bridget did a great job. She looked like somebody that ought to be mayor someday.
Steve, I have the interactive map from the Chicago Tribune that says who voted how. Is there any particular ward you want to know where Daley won? Is that what you were
No, we're talking about where Lightfoot's votes dropped. Like where Lightfoot got the bulk of her support.
47, 44, 46, 48, 49, 40, 47, 33. They're all clumped together. Ward 1 and Ward 25. And then, it's funny. The maps are really weird. The drawings of these wards.
They look like the maps of the state districts.
Yeah.
do any of those places where Lightfoot got votes surprise you, Pat?
No, not at all. I heard a couple days out that she was going to do well in all those wards. Wards that people were surprised how well she was doing. But, again, the thing, Jerry Joyce took a lot. If you go down to the southwest part of that map, you'll see where Jerry Joyce did well, which would historically have been strong for Bill Daley. But the thing for Lori, and she ran a great campaign, no one really went after her at all. I'm not even sure if there's anything to go after her on, but the real brass knuckles campaign is going to start now. And Tony Preckwinkle, they're probably going to start coming after her a little bit.
Do you think, Pat, because she's, you know, one of the things she said when she was in here is that she's one of the few people that actually has background in law enforcement and accountability and reform. So do you think that the violence portion of our reputation in the city, people are tired of that, and that's what helped her?
Yeah, all those incorporated in a change agenda that we're going to do things differently. The timing of the indictments and the arrests and all these things, I think helped her a lot. She's a former assistant U.S. attorney, and she could be mayor of the city of Chicago. I don't think anyone would have drawn that picture 7 or 8 years ago. But now the flip side of that is I think where she's going to struggle is, but you have a city of 250,000 employees and, what, $10 billion budget or whatever it is, and she's never managed anything that big. I think the line of attack that Preckwinkle's going to use will be, can we trust the city to somebody that's never really managed anything? I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying I think that that's what she's going to get hit on right away because, listen, Chicago's bigger than some countries, and it's a big budget and a lot of people.
Preckwinkle likely to trot out the I'm the one that opened the Laquan McDonald case stuff throughout this?
She might, but I'm not sure how effective those ads were, particularly when you're dealing with a former assistant U.S. attorney. And I'm not sure if that matter hasn't been litigated enough. I agree with Sandberg on the police reform and things like that, that issue, although as important as it is, I think the people that paid for that might have been the aldermen that lost last night.
Well, that's pretty interesting, right? Two African-American women against each other, and both have, they've had colorful lives so far.
Here's another. It's kind of a subtext that no one's talking about because they don't talk about it. But you think about the gay and lesbian community has made in this state. Greg Harris is running Springfield now.
Right.
He was the lead on the marriage equality, and Lori Lightfoot, I mean, give them credit. They're organized, and they don't wear other sleeves. It's not their number one issue, but that to me is something of significance in a city that's not known for it historically for being real accepting.
So you're telling me that sexual preference doesn't affect your ability to be successful in politics? What? What?
Or anything else.
Or life? Yeah. Thanks for the update. Where are you headed this morning?
I'm just outside of Morris on my way to Springfield.
Ah, good times.
You want me to bring you a snow globe or something?
No, I'm solid. I'm good. Okay. Thank you. It's Pat Brady, and thank you for being on. It's 6:28. What's coming up here in a couple of minutes? Well, more of Steve Grzanich. We'll get to the headlines in just a second, and we'll tell you what Michael Cohen's going to say to Congress later. Technically, it's holy crap, Batman. First at 6:28, here's this.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I'm here because of my personal and professional experiences have prepared me to lead with compassion, integrity, and persistence.
We work shoulder to shoulder to shape a campaign that reflects our vision, our values, and our hopes for Chicago.
That's Lori Lightfoot, your surprise winner of last night's mayoral election. She and Tony Preckwinkle will be in a runoff now. Neither came close to the 50% plus one needed to avoid a runoff. Tony Preckwinkle was in the midst there as well. And Marianne Ahern, nobody better than Marianne Ahern from NBC5, joins us now. Did you see this coming?
I have to tell you, I texted one of the political insiders yesterday afternoon, just combinations. But the one that kept coming up to me was, could it be? It seemed odd last Friday that Tony Preckwinkle's campaign manager compared Lori to a Nazi. That's really wild. It took 8 hours for him to get fired, but okay, whatever. Why would he do that?
Right.
I mean, obviously they saw Lori surging in some kind of polls. And yet you wondered, you know, you throw the polls out, you say, oh my gosh, what's going on? Forget the polls. Remember President Hillary Clinton? She's been saying that for a while now.
Right.
but you could kind of sense it, but still everyone, oh, the safe money's Daily, and, you know, Daily Tony. That's all I kept hearing as well. So, but when those returns started coming in last night, wow, she held on. Even Lori's own campaign people that I've started texting, what do you think? They wondered, they're like, do you think this will hold? You know, so no one could see it necessarily until it all fell into place.
You know, the conventional wisdom here is you got to spend money. You got to be on TV. You got to be on the radio. You got to be in the paper. You got to have your name out there. She spent, you know, most of the money she had, which wasn't close to the money that Daly and Preckwinkle had. And I really thought she didn't have the name recognition citywide to get it done. So how much of this is low turnout versus everybody that was impressed with her came out to vote for her?
You're right. You know, Preckwinkle had 4.6 million, Lightfoot had 1.6 million. Her ads were not on until the last 2 weeks. And also, when folks say newspapers don't matter, BS to that, because she got the Sun-Times endorsement, and that turned Lori Lightfoot's tide, because then people took notice. And she did get a little bit enough money to get on TV. Yes, corruption did get people to the polls, and even though it was a pretty lousy turnout, her voters came, and they were split with so many others. Now, are you going to say that Jerry Joyce took Daly's voters and all of that? Two black women are in the final.
Right.
You know, that's pretty amazing.
Marianne, even if Daly had gotten more, if the Jerry Joyce factor wasn't in play, would we still be looking at the Lori Lightfoot turnout? I mean, that doesn't change her number as being impressive.
Even the Daly folks said to me last week, the two unknowns at this point are the lakefront and the African-American vote. We're going to have to look at how it all sliced out. But I would think that the lakefront brought it for Lori Lightfoot, and that's why she won. And people were sick of hearing about the corruption and whether or not Chicago was going to think about change. Someone else. Now, hey, it doesn't mean that Lightfoot is coasting. Of course not. This is going to be a wild 6 weeks. You know, we're going to hear the whole insider, outsider, reformer, all a change, the machine, tradition, all that. But it did prove that even though the conventional wisdom, low turnout is those with the most organized teams get their voters. Yes. Preckwinkle because of those big union endorsements. But at the same time, others, it kind of, I wasn't a reporter during Jane Byrne, but I remember voting during Jane Byrne and thinking, wow, you know, what is this guy Blandick talking about? He doesn't see the snow. I'm going to vote for that gal, you know, and didn't think she'd win. And I wonder if that was some of the vote yesterday as well.
How shocked are the Preckwinkle people that this is their opponent, and how much harder does it make it for them?
Oh, for sure. You know, when she didn't come out for her speech for a while, I thought, man, she's rewriting that one.
Yeah, how did she miss the 10 o'clock news? To wait, to make the news wait, and if Bridget Gaynor have to tap dance like that, that was ridiculous.
Well, at the same time, her whole speech got on the 10 o'clock news, where Lightfoot's speech was on about an hour earlier. So there was some folks already complaining, wait a second, the first place finisher didn't get all this play.
Right, right.
So that worked out for them in a way. But even the big posters in the room last night were Women for Tony. Well, how about just Women for Women? You know, right. I think they're going to have to rewrite that script a bit.
Right.
How long until we know, like, the female versus male turnout and then the different ages, the actual numbers?
Oh, I think we'll see some of that. I think we'll see some of that pretty quickly. You know, it wasn't like a huge ballot. So I think we'll see perhaps even this afternoon they'll be able to break some of that down.
Were you surprised at how poorly Mendoza did?
Yes. I was. I, you know, she had such a professional team. I mean, she had some of the best in the business working on her team. And so they worked it so hard to the end. And you felt as if you didn't include her, you were missing a story. It said that you didn't want to be the one that didn't give it fair play. And yet, you know, Preckwinkle also tainted by the Ed Burke brush, but not as strongly as Mendoza did.
Do you think the fact that it became a story that, hey, I ran for comptroller just as a holding gig because I really want to be mayor, you think that's part of I'm sick of politicians lying to me? Did that connect with people?
Well, then why didn't it connect on Tony Preckwinkle? I mean, the only Preckwinkle did say earlier, she said before the November election, but she didn't have an opponent. She didn't have an opponent in her November election. So she was able to say, yeah, you know what? I am on the November ballot, but I want to be mayor. Mendoza had an opponent on the November ballot and had to wait.
Yeah, I don't know if it connected or not, but it's certainly worthy. All right, multiple choice question on Bill Daley. Why did Bill Daley lose? Here are your choices. A, because Jerry Joyce is his Ross Perot. B, he didn't work hard enough. He didn't seem to want it. C, people are tired of Daley's. Or D, all of the above.
And the negative ads that started about 2 weeks ago, he was the only one that had as many and pretty effective negative ads from dark money from this PAC that they're going to blame some of the Mendoza folks for, but that, and she was very strong against him as well. Those negative ads proved to be, he was definitely leading in all of this. I was surprised. Folks say, you know, he ran a Rose Garden campaign. He did not as much as Preckwinkle did. Bill Daley was available. We called his campaign. He met us. He talked to us. He was way more available than I sort of expected. So that you cannot say.
Pat Brady, a few minutes ago, brought up the point that Preckwinkle's main go at Lori Lightfoot, maybe she's never managed any company close to the size she's about to have to manage. Is that a legitimate take?
It is for sure. Yes, yes. Hands-on manager Tony Preckwinkle has done so. Also, when you've been in politics and held office for 28 years, you've got a record to hold on to, and you've got a record to explain. And so she's also got some Achilles heels herself. We don't have to list them all right now, but, you know, this is not going to be any cakewalk for either. I think we're going to see a back and a forth. It's going to be a tough one. Does Lightfoot now get, where do the former candidates, where does the Bill Daley go? Paul Vallis seemed to say that he was endorsing Lightfoot. He didn't say it so much, but he talked about change. What about any of the others? Do they line up those? Are those her coalition? Because Preckwinkle already has such a strong union base.
The 65-70% of registered voters that didn't show up are waking up this morning to the reality that you're going to have an African-American woman as mayor. Is the city excited about that?
think, boy, I like to see the glass half full. And, you know, as soon as I say that, there's going to be a big group that goes, oh, yawn, whatever. But no, I think that's very exciting. Come on. That was not on the top five of our ideas yesterday, early on.
Right.
And when it started to emerge last night, I can tell you all the reporters and producers in the room were saying, oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I'll leave you with this. As a group, did we underestimate Lori Lightfoot or did we overestimate Bill Daley?
I think we underestimated. Yes, I do think we definitely underestimated. You know, Lightfoot polled, I think, in December at barely five, or I think she was very low. And she just plodded along and plodded along. And that message that she had resonated. We'll see. This is far from over.
You know, Sandberg pointed out that the reason Lightfoot's a winner this morning is because she actually showed up on this show on the Polar Vortex Day. So clearly she's tough.
She did more forums, that's for sure. I did one on a Friday night at 8 o'clock on the South Side, and there were five candidates who showed, and she was one of them.
Yeah, well, there's no denying she's a very impressive woman. So here we go. We've got a very short run-up here to the actual runoff election, and there'll be a lot of commercials to drive you nuts. And do we expect money to be pouring into Lori Lightfoot's side now?
I would think so. This happened last time, you know, the day after the runoff between Emanuel and Garcia. We showed up at Chuy Garcia's headquarters, and he could barely put the phone down. People were calling him like crazy. So, yes, I would think we're going to see she's going to get some more resources.
Well, I just hope for a fair fight. Thank you, as always, you fabulous Marianne Aaron.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Marianne Aaron from Channel 5.
I know she said, you know, she's not sure how people feel or if they have any thoughts on it being two women. I'm excited to see these next few weeks and how two women running are handling campaigns. Like, I cannot wait. I'm not actually dreading the commercials and things. I want to see how this
look. I think it's great for the city.
Down. Yeah, this is exciting.
The president. As soon as the president wraps up his dinner with Kim Jong-un, he's going to call this
now
morning.
That you mentioned the president, I'm going to have to give something away. I'm going to give away a pair of tickets to the 5th annual Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo in Chicago at Plumbers Hall on March 9th and 10th. Get tickets at ChicagoWineAndSpiritsExpo.com. 7th caller, please.
And Michael Cohen's testimony will be underway in less than an hour. And, he's got stuff to say. We'll talk about that and why he ought to be listened to. Back on the Steve Cochran Show. You know, you get to the end of a cold and people go, well, I sound worse than I feel. I have a different theory on colds. I believe you get to the end of the cold, and the cold takes one last shot at you.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you're feeling like it's over, the cold goes, oh, I don't think so. So that's what I got going on. I got one last punch in the face from the cold.
We have, I think there's like half our staff is out sick. And yesterday we had our weekly call that we have with everybody, and our boss, Todd, reminded people to wash their hands. Because
it's a good
they're
idea.
They're dropping like flies here.
And use the Clorox wipes everywhere you go.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. We're all adults and we're being told to wash our hands, but half our staff is sick. So.
Well, you're in show business. We're not all adults.
Oh, this is
only
true.
Only a portion of the staff is adult.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And then we've got other things going on. They're dangerous and deadly. Dave, you almost killed yourself last night.
I did. Out for my evening walk with my dog, and I hit the ice. And it snuck up on me because it was snowing. It was very pretty.
Also, it was covered.
It was covered, and it's deceptive.
Steve. What type of fall was it? Was it a whoop, 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 whoo, or was it a ho? You know what I'm saying? Ho is it more of a kind of a quick fall? Mm-hmm. A whoop, 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 whoop is that one where you try to save yourself?
It was more of a whoop, whoop, bam.
Okay.
Kind of like that. So it was in between because I felt it coming.
So you got a whoop whoop.
I got a whoop whoop.
Okay, that's
like
a two whoops.
And then I hit the ice. I hit my left side hard. I mean,
cheek
full
first.
Force. No, shoulder and hip.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Did Ozzy call 911?
He looked at me, tilted his head sideways, and
said, "What are we doing?
What's
here?
Wrong with you?
Why, now, what kind
why
of,
are you on the ground?
Yeah, I'm
what
not.
Kind
I
of,
had no problem.
Footwear were you in?
I had like a rubber bottom shoes on, like sort of all weather.
All weather. Okay.
Shoes.
Because when you fell, Steve, a couple weeks ago, you were just wearing a cross trainer, and then you went out and bought shoe boots.
Shoe boots, exactly right.
Yeah,
boot bottoms.
That's kind of like
trackers.
What these were. Yeah. Oh,
okay, but, so even the shoe boots.
Yeah,
were
you
no
get certain amounts
ice.
Of ice. It's like walking on a hockey rink.
There's I didn't know it was there because I'm much more sure.
So you're at a quicker clip probably than you would have been if you were new ice was on the ground.
Yes.
You would have.
Do you think Ozzy's secretly calling a doctor at home today, going, "I'm not sure what happened, but he fell."
I'm sure he told my wife that.
No, but you had to be careful. You fell, you know, a couple weeks ago.
And I got to tell you something. Concrete hurts.
Right. One of our main bosses fell, and she broke her wrist and had to have surgery.
But I had the same thing. I hit the patch of ice that you couldn't see, and you just go straight down.
Yeah.
Marlene Wells, who has been running our radio station now for 50 years.
Yeah.
Marlene Wells' husband, Rick, tried to let his dog out, fell. And he just got out of surgery Monday. He had like 6 pins put in his ankle.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Same with Jen DeSalvo's husband.
Is that right?
He fell down some stairs full of ice, and he broke his leg in a bunch of places. He's had surgery. And my husband's fallen like 3 times. It's all the men.
It is the men. You're right, Mary.
I'm feeling better because I'm a little sore, but
I didn't break anything.
I don't understand the physics of falling and shoulder hitting first. Did you tuck
when you
in?
Fall that fast?
Because I thought your head hit last. Oh, your head hit last.
Yeah, because I thought your head. I tucked and tried to
like
roll.
Like a caterpillar, kind of?
It's a physics thing. You know, your head just needs to get the whip.
Yeah, but there's the shoulder. Yeah, I would have thought mare wrist.
I was cheek, elbow, hand, head.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you were shoulder first.
I was shoulder first, shoulder and hip simultaneously.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. And the great risk I have, Dave, and, you know, you share this to some degree, though I haven't really visualized it myself, is no butt. You fall on your butt. There's no padding there.
Yeah. Dave's just rock hard.
Oh, women have padding.
My first thought was, did anyone see me do it? Because I was on a fairly busy street. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, same here. In my neighborhood, in the middle of the Saturday afternoon, and I thought, I hope somebody saw me, because for the amount this hurts, there ought to be some entertainment value for the neighbors.
I hadn't thought of it that way. But
Nobody offered to come over and help you guys, one of you?
No, they just laugh behind curtains. I saw the curtains kind of moving back and forth behind the giggling.
Hey, Cochran's down again.
He's down! Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Guzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
To everyone who voted for me, and even those who didn't, know that I see you, I hear you, and I'll never, ever stop fighting for you.
I congratulate Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot on their victories. One of them will have the honor of being the next mayor of Chicago.
Susana Mendoza and Bill Daly saying, it wasn't me. Heather Sharon, Daily Line, joins us now. Heather follows this stuff more than anybody.
Thanks, Steve.
As a matter of fact, if whoever is elected mayor can't fulfill their duties, Heather automatically becomes mayor. It's just the rule.
Is that the new rule?
That's good to know. All right. Were you surprised?
I got to say I was. It was a very low turnout election. Essentially, Chicago tied the all-time low set back in 2007.
Nothing to be proud of there, huh?
Yeah, and I expected that to benefit candidates who have gotten, you know, voters to the polls in the past, and that would be, you know, Bill Daly with what's at least left of the Daly machine, and Tony Preckwinkle, who, of course, is, you know, the head of the Cook County Democratic Party. So I, you know, always thought that Lori Lightfoot had the potential to surprise, but I don't think that anybody expected her to come in first with a bullet and lead the whole way through the night.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, she never lost the lead. It was 17-18% the entire way. And I think a lot of us expected the number would be somewhere below 20%, but we didn't expect it to be her.
Well, and I think they kept saying last night, Heather, that the lead she had over Tony Preckwinkle, that stayed consistent, and then it was just the gap between Preckwinkle and Daly that changed. But the, you know, Lori was, Tony never closed that gap with Lori.
Yeah, I was at Bill Daly's party, supposed to be party last night, and we were surprised when he came out a little bit after 9:30 and conceded. You know, there certainly was a small enough sort of gap for him to sort of wait it out through the night, we thought. But he pulled the plug, and I think that's really the end of the Daley era in Chicago, at least when it comes to the fifth floor of City Hall.
What happens to Bill Daley now?
You know, that's a good question. I'm sure he can be comforted with all of the millions of dollars that he's earned in, business and consulting. That's a good question. You know, he aborted a run for governor. You know, there's not really, anywhere else to run for in the state of Illinois.
Heather Sharon's with us. All right. So Lori Lightfoot and Toni Preckwinkle, we will have the first African-American female 2019. It's a fine development for the city of Chicago, and I hope most people feel that way. What does it mean for turnout on April 2nd?
Well, you know, in 2011, when Rahm Emanuel was elected after Mayor Richard M. Daley retired, the turnout went up from about 36% to about 43%. So I think most people will tell you they expect turnout to increase, if for no other reason that there are fewer choices. It's, one or the other this time around. You don't have to sort through 14 candidates and, take 12 quizzes and, stand on your head and turn around backwards three times to make a decision.
Where's the money going to go?
That's a good question. So Toni Preckwinkle has had behind her, and in fact, literally behind her last night at her victory party, the SEIU and the CTU, two of the strongest, most well-funded, most politically active unions in Chicago. Lori Lightfoot has touted her lack of union support as a positive. The question becomes, where does the business community go? Or do they sit this run out off, run out out and just sort of watch from the sidelines? They had clearly coalesced behind Bill Daley, whom, let's just take a minute and remember, raised $8.7 million, nearly five times what Lori Lightfoot raised.
And what's he going to do with his money?
He spent a lot of it. We won't know exactly how until the next reporting deadline. But he could give it to other candidates.
Right.
He could certainly endorse. His brother John Daley is still president of is the finance chair of the Cook County Board of Commissioners, and could potentially become president of the Cook County Board of Commissioners if Toni Preckwinkle is elected mayor. So there's a long way to go before we really know how this all shakes out.
Is that money useful to his, I believe it's his nephew, Patrick, that is an alderman?
Patrick won big.
But can you use that money for him, or is he, since he won, he doesn't need that?
I don't think he really needs it. He wasn't hurting for money, in his reelection campaign, which he won handily. He could dole it out. He could give it back. We saw Rahm Emanuel give back some of the money he had collected while he was still planning to run for a third term. But that's very much an open question. Ken Griffin, the Illinois' richest man, gave him $2 million in the closing weeks of the campaign. I'd sure like to be able to call him up and what he thinks about last night's results, but something tells me he's not going to take my call.
It's Heather Sharon from the Daily Line, dailyline.net now, or the dailyline.net. Unavoidably, these candidates will go at each other for at least a portion of the next couple of weeks. It would seem that Toni Preckwinkle's shot at Lori Lightfoot's going to be, she can't manage anything this big. She's never come close to managing something this big, 250,000 employees and so on, huge budget and things of that nature. What is Lori Lightfoot going to say about Toni Preckwinkle?
She's going to make it very difficult for Toni Preckwinkle to claim that sort of progressive reformer mantle that she's been sort of working to, seize. And we got a little bit more of a sense of what that argument Toni Preckwinkle is going to make against Lori Lightfoot in her speech last night, that Lori Lightfoot worked for Richard M. Daley when he was mayor. She worked for Rahm Emanuel when he was mayor. Toni Preckwinkle is going to say, and she said last night, look, I fought the Chicago machine from the outside, and I took it over. I am capable of pulling the levers at City Hall to ensure that city government continues to function. Lori Lightfoot might be a talented lawyer with expertise in sort of police accountability issues, but she's unprepared for, you know, sort of the challenges of running, you know, the third largest city, which at least is going to be the argument. And Gloria Lightfoot's going to say, look, we've done it that way for years. You know, you're no different than Rahm Emanuel. You're no different from Rich Daley. Chicago, you know, last night, if anything is clear, you know, Chicagoans want something different. And Lori Lightfoot is going to present herself as that new alternative.
So, you know, Lori Lightfoot was one of the people that got in the campaign early, and she was a very anti-Rahm Emanuel campaign. Do you think that still carries through until the runoff, or is it just going to be versus Tony?
Yeah, I think Rahm Emanuel becomes less of an issue. You know, if he wasn't a lame duck yesterday, he's certainly quacking today. But the question...
I don't think the mayor quacks, does he? Does he quack?
You can ask him next time you have him on.
That's true.
I'm sure he'll love that. Yeah. So, I mean, the question, I think, will be less of sort of a, you know, sort of direct attack on Rahm Emanuel as opposed to sort of, you know, here's how I would do it differently. And both Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot are going to be trying to make the case that they would be, you know, 180 degrees from where Rahm Emanuel is. We're going to see big fights in the next couple of weeks over the Lincoln Yards development. We're going to see a big fight tomorrow at the Zoning Committee over the Police and Fire Training Academy. That's, you know, we're going to get right back into the thick of these issues that will, you know, shape the city and could potentially tie either Tony Preckwinkle's or Lori Lightfoot's hands quite significantly once they take office.
Since Lori Lightfoot's job in part was to be the heavy hand on the Chicago Police Department, and she made, you know, she didn't try to hide the fact that she thought there was an awful lot that needs to be fixed there. How much fence mending does she need to do there, or does that wait to see if she wins?
Yeah, I don't know that it's even possible, because in speaking with the leadership of the Fraternal Order of Police, you know, they consider Lori Lightfoot, you know, far left, you know, radical anti-police, and I don't think they think Tony Preckwinkle is much better. So the consent decree that will govern, you know, sort of the reforms of the Chicago Police Department goes into effect on Friday, and that will in large part sort of dictate, you know, what the next steps are in the reform effort. But the next mayor will also have to try to negotiate a new contract with the FOP, which has been expired for almost a year and a half at this point. I don't even know how that shakes out.
And while political experience is generally a bad thing these days in the eyes of the public, when somebody gets elected to a huge job, as Pat Brady pointed out earlier this morning, Chicago's bigger than a lot of countries. You need to have people that you've come up with, people that you trust, people that you know in your world who can work with you in running the city government. Does Lori Lightfoot have any kind of organization that's ready to go?
You know, that's a really good question, and I think one that reporters will be asking her, you know, if they haven't already this morning, they will be asking. You know, Tony Preckwinkle has a staff that's in place at the Cook County Board that she could, you know, almost, you know, move, you know, from one wing of the giant building to the other giant wing of the building. You know, Lori Lightfoot would really be starting from scratch. You know, she, you know, in the, you know, sort of the traditional Chicago way, has no clout. You know what I mean? She didn't come up through an organization.
Right.
She doesn't owe anybody anything. And, you know, that's, I think, part of what made last night so shocking. Because, you know, in Chicago, there was a sense that, you know, somebody nobody sent, you know, could not make it into a runoff, much less, you know, win first place, you know, with a finish in first place with a bullet. I mean, that I think is yeah, it is amazing.
At Heather Cherone on social media, Cherone, thedailyline.net. Thank you for doing this again.
Anytime, Steve.
There you go. That's Heather. She's Heather Cherone. She knows everything.
She was up all night, you know, because this was her
thing.
Christmas. But I told her she doesn't have party voice, but she said she didn't do any talking. She just quoted everybody in writing. So that's, she didn't have to use her voice.
Yeah. A break from all the politics later when Chaz Palminteri is in studio. I love Chaz. He hasn't been on the show in a long time. Dean Richards, my fellow moron. We'll be on after 8 when we do Moron Entertainment. Ro will be in live.
Is he also a moron, Ro?
Oh, of course.
Ro was way off on his prediction. I have them documented.
Ro thought it was the original Mayor Daley. That was his prediction last night.
But this Michael Cohen thing is unbelievable. But before we get to that, before 8 o'clock, we're going to get to the president calling right after he finishes dinner and has Mike Pence just dab his chin. We'll get to that coming up.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I think it'll be a very close race, but I'm not sure it'll necessarily be close enough that it's going to be that, oh, we don't know, and we'll drag on for a while. I do think we'll get some definitive answers. It may just take until very late tonight. I think we kind of know how the tiers are set among these candidates, and it's now a matter of seeing how well they work their specific areas of the city to get the turnout that they need.
What a shock. Rick Pearson knows what he's talking about. Rick Pearson, host of the Sunday Spin. I was yesterday on the program when he said, yeah, no, we'll know. We'll know last night. We did know last night. And if there's lessons to be learned from this campaign of the many, it's that you don't have to be intimidated by people that want to put a sign in your yard. Just put every sign in your yard. Today's most valuable person on the planet is Reba Caffarelli, who joins us this morning. Reba.
Hello.
How are you today?
Doing well. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you for being on and listening and all that. And I understand that you made a choice that I think is going to catch on like hotcakes, like wildfire. You put every candidate sign in your yard.
That's right.
So how many is that? 14?
Well, we were only able to get 13 because Neil Sales Griffin did not have yard signs, although we did try to get a window sign, but they were fresh out. So we only had 13.
I just don't understand that campaign. But anyway, so did you decide they had strategic locations? You just go plant another one and put it out there?
Well, I mean, it started out as a joke with my husband and his dad. They were just, you know, collecting different signs and putting them in each other's yards. And then we thought, why not get all of them? But it turned into a treasure hunt because it was hard to find certain candidates. So we had to kind of search around the city.
Sure. When you were searching, did you have to steal any from anybody, or?
We never stole from anybody's yard.
You stick to that story. That's a good story to tell.
Usually, I'm not the biggest fan of a ton of stuff in your yard. However, the nice thing about all of these candidates is they use the Chicago colors. So it's a uniform look as far as, you know, the displays. It's the Chicago blue, red, white.
Yeah, from a graphic design perspective, it all looks pretty nice together. It's kind of an art installation in our front yard.
Well, yeah, and you guys are in a classic Chicago bungalow, so it's a cool look.
Yeah I love it.
So will you take them down, or will this become a permanent part of your lawn?
I want to take them down. I told my husband this morning, I think today is the day that we can either take them down or just narrow it down to the final candidate.
Yeah, so, you got to put Lightfoot and Tony front and center, right?
What about 20 of Tony and 20 of Lightfoot? And then depending on the polls, you start pulling or putting more in.
That's kind of a cool idea. I like that.
Right. You could really be representative of how things are going.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you know you got to vote in the next one. We won't ask you who you're going to lean towards, but we will watch your lawn.
Well, I guess we have to live up to all of your expectations for the final vote.
Well, you're the most valuable person on the planet. Why wouldn't you? And we have prizes for you. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much. Have
there
a great
you go.
Day.
That's Reba Caffarelli. And the Caffarellis put every candidate sign in their yard. They should have done all the aldermen, too.
That would have been that would be like when somebody turns 50 and they put all those flamingos in the front.
Yeah, the flamingos.
Hey, you know what? I never thought about that. Why not flamingo candidate signs?
There you go. Huh?
Perfect.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's 7:30. We'll come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Later, loser. Later, loser.
Oh, you went custom ringtone.
Later, loser.
Took a while to put it together, but I think it works.
Later, loser.
President Trump has barred the White House press corps from the next press availability, but he's taken a minute to talk to us. Let me grab the phone here, and there's probably some sort of delay. But live from Vietnam, President Donald Trump. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Cochran. How's your race for mayor going? Are they going to find a good replacement for Mayor Ramen Noodle? My money's on Oprah.
That's very juvenile. Rahm Emanuel, I think, is who you're talking about. And Oprah's not running, but as it happens, Chicago will be electing its first African-American female mayor, Lori Lightfoot and Tony Preckwinkle.
Preckwinkle. Well, junior high must have been tough for her.
Imagine
very
me.
Tough.
Imagine me with my name. Look, I know you're interested in the mayor's race here. I'm not sure how you managed to find time to call, but I'm glad you did because you're at the summit there with Kim Jong-un in Hanoi. How's it going so far?
Well, things have gotten off to a bad start for me over here, Cochran. You know, the minute we landed and I set foot on the runway, those pesky bone spurs of mine completely flared up again.
Sure, sure.
Lots of anti-inflammatories being taken, believe me.
Yeah, sure.
And despite somebody yelling out to me at the airport that I have a horrible case of jerk lag, it's turning out to be a tremendous trip. I mean, you know, so we hit a few mopeds on the way to the hotel, but those things are unavoidable. There's no traffic cops here.
Yeah, I understand. Things will happen. Is it going to get a little better now, I hope?
Yes, much better. I'm totally prepared for this summit. And by prepared, I mean I watched Fox and Friends on the plane ride over.
Sure.
I will tell you, I'm feeling a little off, though. I've been here, like, what, a day? I've already developed a tremendous case of PTSD, presidential tweeting seat disorder.
Oh, sure. Uh-huh.
Everyone in Washington knows I can only insult tweet everyone at 5 o'clock in the morning, like I do every day.
Yeah.
But I don't think they have 5 o'clock over here. I have no idea what time it is anyway. It's like I'm in one of my casinos. I got no time. What time is it?
5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock. Ask one of your people. Now, the dinner with Kim Jong-un, is that gone well? Is it still going on?
Oh, yes, it's going right now. It's fantastically well. Kimbo's out having a smoke break, but I had time to talk.
Uh-huh.
In all fairness, Kim and I are in total sync with each other. Total sync. For dinner, they told us we'd either get KFC or Pizza Hut, but we looked at each other at the same time and said, no, we're getting both. It's like we're thinking with one beautiful, tremendous mind. We really are.
So things with Chairman Kim are you're simpatico.
Oh, yeah, we really are. We spent the entire day yesterday just catching up on how our families are doing. You know, so many incredibly funny stories from Kim about all the justifiable homicides he's carried out on his relatives.
I bet you were amused. And just to be clear, you said you're not going to rush Kim and North Korea into denuclearization as long as they don't test missiles. Is that your new? Those are the new goalposts?
Yes, that's right. There's no hurry, little fella. Just take your time with the nukes because you want to do it right and dispose of them properly because they're never going to take more than 2 or 3 warheads in the garbage pickup every week, believe me.
Yeah, imagine the amount of stickers that would take. Sir, while you're in Vietnam, your former lawyer, Michael Cohen, is about to testify to Congress. And the stuff he's talking about is explosive. The hush money payments, your finances, your businesses, your patriotism. Any concern with what he's saying?
Okay, believe me, Michael Cohen is not someone I worry about, okay? He's a proven liar. He's a liar. Cohen lies more than Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski combined. I mean, this guy has told more lies than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has teeth. He lies worse than that thing lying on top of Joe Biden's head, believe me. That I can tell you. Have you gotten a good look at Michael Cohen? I've seen more trustworthy faces on death row. That's why I never shared with him, you know, the really good stuff. I mean, if Rudy Giuliani was testifying today, I'd be declaring a second national emergency. Bigly.
I can't believe that you're pointing out others' lies and hair. But anyway, this lawsuit that's coming up against you as well. You know, this woman has said you kissed her without your consent, saying it was super creepy. And some witnesses deny it ever happened. Where are you on this?
Look, excuse me. That is such a ridiculous story. I have never kissed any woman without her consent who wasn't sitting next to me on an airplane or getting changed in the dressing room at the Miss USA pageant. That I can tell you.
Sir, what do you think about Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats voting to block that national emergency?
Oh, like I'm surprised? Of course they blocked it. Whatever Trump wants, you can count on Nancy Adult Underpantsy Pelosi and her band of crooked lefties to try and stop it.
Mr. President.
I got the veto.
I get it. I really appreciate you making time. I know you're very busy over there.
Yes, Cochran. Oh, by the way, Kimbo's back. We got to talk about a very important issue. It's an issue vital to the American people and in Asia. Ain't that right, Kimbo? Yes, Donald. I cannot stop pondering it. Yes or no? Are Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga making whoopee? Oh, without a doubt. Their chemistry was unmistakable sitting on that piano bench. That's exactly what I thought. The way Gaga looks at him, right? Yes. Although my uncle disagreed, so I had him executed. Oh, that's too bad.
Mr. President.
We're far from the shallow now. Okay, enough singing. Let's eat.
Bye-bye.
Later, loser.
Too bad Justin's not here. He would have loved that shallow.
Wow. What a sweet duet.
That's not how I expected him to sound.
You know, it's funny because remember the movie The Hangover?
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un sounded like the bad guy from The Hangover.
Yeah, what's that guy, that actor?
Ken Jeong.
Oh, yeah.
Are we sure that was Kim Jong-un, or was it to Trump making the voice like he was doing here?
You think he was doing both?
Maybe. I thought it was Pence.
Because remember, he was mocking some of those voices here while he was here.
It's hard to sing both parts.
You'd have to be crazy to do both of those voices.
Incredible actor.
Like, what are you saying?
Michael Cohen, wait till you hear what he's got to say coming up after this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, 7:51. And as you wake up in Chicago this morning, or in Illinois, or anywhere in the Midwest, the big story here is obviously Lori Lightfoot versus Tony Preckwinkle on April 2nd to find out who the next mayor of the city will be. Third largest city in America. One of the biggest cities in the world. And we'll have our first African-American female mayor. So it's a big day here. In D.C., it's always a big day. Just ask them. But today could be, it could be, you know, we've said it a million times, but this could be the day where everything changes. You know, you hear the promos on the network TV news. Tonight, everything changes. This is the episode. Michael Cohen testifies to Congress. Open testimony today for the public to enjoy as well. Here are some of the things Cohen will say. Now, let's just dispense with one main argument here, and that is that Cohen is a convicted liar. Yeah, that's exactly right. He's a convicted liar in the service of Donald Trump. His campaign violation crime is the lie that he told to Congress about making a payment to Stormy Daniels to keep her from saying anything prior to the election. That's why he's going to jail. He'll be under oath today. There is no reason that he would lie about anything he's going to say today because he risks going to jail for much longer than he's already on the hook for.
It's interesting. You said, you know, he's a liar under the service of President Trump. But I'm interested if he's liar prior to that also, you know.
As a character? Sure.
Yeah.
But again,
is it just the, just curious.
But again, why would he make his risk higher? Why would he want to go to jail for even more years? Oh, yeah. Many, many, many more years. Here's the things that is in his prepared statement today that will come up today that he's prepared to say. In July 2016, this is, again, Cohen's words. In July 2016, days before the Democratic convention, I was in Trump's office when his secretary announced that Roger Stone was on the phone. Mr. Trump put Stone on the speakerphone. Stone told Trump that he had just gotten off the phone with Julian Assange, and that Mr. Assange told Mr. Stone that with a couple of days, there would be a massive dump of emails that would damage Hillary Clinton's campaign. Mr. Trump responded by stating, that would be great. Wouldn't that be great? That's your collusion. In cahoots, collusion with WikiLeaks, who's tied to Russia, where the emails were hacked. That's where all that comes from. Point two, I'm providing a copy of a $35,000 check that President Trump personally signed from his personal bank account for $35,000 when he was president of the United States on August 1st, 2017. One of multiple payments, 11 check installments to pay me back for paying Stormy Daniels while he was president. Cohen also said he asked me to pay off the adult film star with whom he had the affair and to lie to his wife about it, which I did. I lied to the first lady. It's one of my biggest regrets. She's a kind, good person. I respect her greatly. She did not deserve that. Point four, Trump claimed it was because of a bone spur that he got out of service to Vietnam. But when I asked for his medical records, he gave me none and said there was no surgery. He said, don't answer specific questions by reporters. Just tell him it was a medical thing. He finished a conversation with the following comment. You think I'm stupid? I wasn't going to Vietnam. Isn't it ironic that he's there today? Point five, Cohen says the sad fact is I never heard Mr. Trump say anything in private that led me to believe he loved this country or wanted to make it better. When telling me in 2008 he was cutting employees' salaries in half, including mine, he showed me what he claimed to be a $10 million IRS tax refund, and he said he couldn't believe, quote, how stupid the government was for giving people like him that much money back. Next. He said, one of my more common responsibilities for Mr. Trump was to direct me to call business owners, many of whom were small businesses that were owed money, and to tell them they should expect no payment or a reduced payment
would be coming. When I advised Mr. Trump of my success, he reveled in it. Point six. Mr. Trump had frequently told me that Don Jr. was a huge disappointment, that he had the worst judgment of anyone in the world, and that Don Jr. would never set up any meeting of significance alone, and certainly not without checking with his father, obviously tied to the Trump Tower meeting. And finally this, Cohen says, he once asked me if I could name a country run by a black person that wasn't an asshole country. That was when Barack Obama was president of the United States. When we were once driving through a struggling neighborhood in Chicago, he commented that only black people could live like that. And then he said black people would never vote for him because they were, quote, too stupid. Michael Cohen's words, he will be telling Congress that today. Just out of the news, one of the concerns today with the president being in Vietnam is that he is going to make strong and big and over-the-top concessions to Kim Jong-un, including pulling troops out of South Korea, as a way of distracting from the Michael Cohen testimony and the story here. The goalposts have shifted from from verifiable denuclearization to no testing to, hey, we're pals. We have 30,000 troops plus their families in South Korea, and we have first strike capabilities in South Korea that would protect this country if Kim Jong-un goes nuclear. South Korea is way too important to back out of. So that's a lot of what you're going to be hearing today as well.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Let's take a break from big political news and let's have morons take over. Moron Entertainment.
That sounds repetitive.
Does a little bit, doesn't it? Dean Richards joins me.
Were you surprised at the results of the
election? Sure was. Sure was. Good for Lori Lightfoot, man. Good for her.
It's an interesting development.
I will say, Dean, Justin, Pat Brady had picked Lori Lightfoot and... Who did he pick? Lori Bill Lightfoot Daly. And Bill Daly, but yeah. Justin had picked Preckwinkle and Lightfoot, that they would be in the round.
Oh, my God, we'll never hear the end of that.
No. He kept saying last night, pull the tape. That's what he kept saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I picked Green Book and Roma to win.
I had the original Mayor Daly and the first son.
The original Mayor Daly.
Yeah. The last two dailies. I figured those are safe bets. By the way, those results last night don't bode well for old white guys, does it?
I don't know. Maybe old white guys voted for Preckwinkle and Lightfoot.
No, I mean old white guys running.
Running, no.
No, old white guys running doesn't look good.
No, it's
specifically maybe a bald old white guy.
Hey, whoa.
I'm doing this segment as a platform to launch my own political career.
Hold on, I got one more. Whoa, hey.
Because I've already got the slogan. Wouldn't you want a real moron on the fifth floor of City Hall?
Don't you want to feel smarter than the mayor?
I've been a moron for years.
Yeah. One Texas
I've
says,
been a moron for years. That's fabulous.
Yeah. Imagine that on a yard sign. What about all the ballots? Hey,
by the way, who's going to pick up all the yard signs now? This is one
Bill
of my
Daly.
Biggest...
No, he finished third. That's the deal. Bill Daly's got to pick him up.
This is one of my pet peeves after election. That should be whoever loses has to go pick up all.
That's what I'm saying. Bill Daly. He's got to put them all in one car. 773, what about all the ballots that were mailed in? I thought they had to be counted. They do have to be counted, and they do have to be certified, but it is believed through election magic. No, through election science that there won't be enough ballots to change the outcome. So we'll see.
That even if all the ballots have not been counted were for one particular candidate, it wouldn't make a difference.
Yes, because you don't know how many are actually coming back and yada, yada, yada.
I heard Andrea say at one point last night that 20,000 were still out there, but I guess that's they must know something about it.
I heard it was up to 40,000. Pardon me while I yawn during my own show. but you don't know how many of those 40,000 were actually turned into voting ballots and sent back.
Hey, Dean, you know that Steve is suffering from that when you come back too early from a cold and then the cold tries to take you down one more time.
Yeah, I've had that for like three times now for the last 2 months.
Yeah, so he's...
I don't blame you.
Playing hurt.
It's like a guy that gets knocked down at the end of the fight, and you think it's over, and then he goes Glenn Close on you, and he stands up one more time.
Oof. Steve won't take my Vicks VapoRub advice. Go ahead, enjoy your cold.
Hey, have you fallen this winter?
On the ice, yeah. Or snow? No.
Yeah. Dave fell last night.
I did.
Sorry, are you okay?
I'm okay. Thanks, Dean.
Are you the only one on the planet that doesn't laugh when people fall?
Yeah, I mean, he had a very nice, concerned response. Everybody else laughed at him.
I thought when you found out I fell a couple weeks ago, you laughed. Didn't you laugh when I fell?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think we laughed because Steve talked about his head hitting, and he has a large head. Also, maybe this will make you laugh. Not only have Dave and Steve fallen, Mary Vandeveld's husband has fallen quite a few times. Oh. And then Marlene Wells, who works here, her husband has also fallen. So we think all the men are following.
Once again, not a good time for old white men.
And Jen DeSalvo's husband.
Jen DeSalvo's husband, that's right.
But so. Jen DeSalvo's husband and Rick Wells, they both had surgery.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. Like pins in the ankle stuff.
Yeah, the universe might be coming after you guys.
But I don't think Jen DeSalvo's husband's an old white guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look up his picture on Facebook.
So,
this is what's on WGN right now, by the way. There's nothing else on WGN right now.
Wally Phillips is in heaven going, is this on? They're not plugging this into the transmitter, are they?
I wasn't the corniest guy on WGN.
For those of you who have fallen, if you know any old white guys that have fallen this winter, please text us. Let us know.
Yeah, we're doing a poll.
Justin's going to do a 3-hour special tonight.
old white guys that have fallen.
440 texter. Dean, did you say The Favorite was a good movie? You are a moron.
Oh. That's a great movie.
Love
not
the
for
audience.
Everybody. Yeah, I know it's not the Madea's funeral, but. Which I'll be ravaging on Friday, by the way.
Hey, did you see Dear Evan Hansen?
I saw it last night.
And?
I loved it.
Oh, really?
Oh, man.
The music's great, but is the show great?
The show is great. The story is so great and so relatable. It's a story about a nerdy teenager, or as he himself puts it, a loser. Somebody who has no friends, who is, you know, isolated from everybody, can't talk to anybody, he's so nervous. He goes to a therapist who tells him to write a letter to himself. You know, what would you tell yourself? He writes this letter, which is a very depressing letter that he writes, that gets snatched away from him by a school bully. The bully winds up taking his own life, and the parents find this letter that was snatched. They think it's the suicide note that their son left, and it sets off this series of lies and exaggerations, exaggerating the friendship between these two very socially isolated kids, the one that's the nerd and the one that took their own life. That's really the beauty of this story. I mean, it's about the ravages of adolescence,
mm-hmm.
The pain that a lot of people feel, that you are alone and nobody understands you, nobody is friends with you, that if you were suddenly gone, nobody would notice. This is a lot of heavy-duty subject matter,
mm-hmm.
that they deal with beautifully in a very touching way with gorgeous emotional songs. Performed by this Broadway newcomer named Ben Levy Ross, who I'm going to have on my Sunday morning show this week. He stepped into the role that Ben Platt won a Tony Award for. This show has won 6 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. One of them was for Ben Platt, originating the role of Evan Hansen. But this young Ben Levy Ross is so good in the show. It's a story about social isolation and the web of lies and the role that social media plays in it all, making it even worse than when we were young and may have felt this way. So for all this heavy subject matter, the show ends up with a hopeful note. It doesn't leave you depressed when you leave.
Really? So it's uplifting in the end.
So ultimately, it's very uplifting, and I recommend it highly. It's at this new Niederlander Theater that used to be called the Oriental Theater through March 10th, but they're already announced that they're going to be bringing it back next July for 3 months.
Wow, so, excellent.
So try to see it.
Chaz Palminteri's coming in studio later. He's at TV too, isn't he?
Was just here.
Okay.
He was just here and
take your wallet.
Shot me in the
stomach. He's a little shifty.
Yeah, he shot me in the stomach when he was here. I'm okay, though.
Oh.
Well, he's a mob guy.
Yeah. You know, Dean's tough. No, Dean being okay is the part.
Oh, I've worked. I get 4 or 5 bullet holes a day.
Yeah. You thought 50 Cent was tough?
Yeah.
Dean's been shot way more than 50.
Yeah. When you're a movie critic, people shoot you all the time.
Totally. A couple of texters in the slipping text that we threw out. 35-year-old white male. I've slipped several times in one complete fall. I have average head size. Go Marquette.
Go Marquette.
I like this, Dave. 618. I have a multi-year personal streak of not falling, but I don't want to talk about it. It's like a no-hitter in baseball.
Yeah, yeah. Don't bring it up.
608. I'm a 51-year-old white guy. Fell on the ice last night. First time in 30 years. Lisa confirmed my bones are okay.
See, I mean, that's kind of how it was for me. I don't fall on ice.
See, but the problem is you're going to, like, 3 days from now, let's check in with that guy because that's when the pain will kick in.
That's right.
630, my wife says I'm the whitest Mexican she's ever met, and I fell this winter, so I'm saying it's the white thing that does it.
Hello, Wally, can you give me directions to Downers Grove?
What happened when people would just call in and say it's snowing?
Can you tell me when John Gary will be playing at the Mill Run Theater?
God bless him.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
We open up a can of worms here. Now everybody's texting about old white guys falling on the ice because we fell. 219, people are going to have their phones aimed at every old white guy in Chicago waiting for him to fall.
The only thing better than when they fall is when they fall and you catch it on video.
847, I'm 66, I fell 2 weeks ago. Of course, it was after 2 martinis.
And it was in summer.
Be careful, kids. Be careful out there. Chaz Palminteri from the PPG Paints Green Room in just seconds. Chaz, you're not here yet, are you?
No.
You haven't arrived yet? Okay. A couple more quick things.
Fantastic conversation with him earlier.
Well, but we'll be the judge of that. That's Dean. Did you have a fantastic talk with Dean at Channel 9?
It was really good.
Okay.
Really good.
Puts pressure on me.
I learned about Bernie, his lawyer.
Uh-oh.
We got trouble with Bernie
on our set. You know, when you sit on our news desk, you know, it's elevated a little bit, and it's very easy for somebody for their chair to roll off of.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I said jokingly, it's entertaining for us when the guests fall off the chair. And Chad said, "Well, you get to meet my attorney, Bernie, too."
That's fine, Bernie, my attorney.
Yeah, Bernie, my attorney.
Bernie, the attorney. A couple of quick notes before we jump in on the show, A Bronx Tale, which, by the way, is one of my favorite movies too.
Oh, thank you.
Janet Jackson in Vegas residency here.
Yeah, she just announced this yesterday that she's going to be doing some shows in Vegas, and tickets are going to go on sale this coming Friday for that. It's only going to be 15 shows over a 3-month period. You know, Steve, she's got a 1.5-year little boy, so she's very busy, you know, taking care of her child.
She should get a nanny.
She should get several nannies to help her with that. But I was thinking about this. Imagine that. Born in Gary, Indiana, and now you're doing Vegas residencies and playing in the biggest arenas
around the world.
It's quite a life story.
It seems like the cost, though, to have a set for only 15 shows, like usually those go on for a year or something. Like Britney Spears was there for a while.
Pretty long time. But
they're using the Osmond set.
It's when she does I'm a Little Bit Country, You're a Little Bit Rock and Roll, it's great.
She's a very sweet woman. Have you met her?
I have.
She's
I interviewed
nice.
Her several
she's
times.
Very nice.
Very sweet, and considering, you know, her family and all that her family has been through, she turned out okay.
Yep.
Plus, and she's incredibly talented and like
kind of.
She's like Jennifer Lopez. They're 50 and killing it.
5-star players.
Yeah.
5 tools.
Yep.
WGNO America, new show tonight?
New show that's called Gone. It's a survivor of a child abduction and an FBI agent who joined a task force to solve and work on new child abduction cases. It's going to premiere tonight at 8 o'clock on our national cable channel, WGN America.
And Chaz Palminteri's here.
He's got a new TV show that he's working on.
What's your new TV show?
It's called Godfather of Harlem. Comes out in October on Epix with Forest Whitaker and Vincent D'Onofrio. Oh,
did you ever think that in our lifetime we'd see a situation where TV is now on every channel.
That's correct.
500 channels.
That's right. The best stuff is on TV now.
Yep. It really is.
Yeah.
Because there was a time, right, when theater and movie folks would go, oh, I'm not going to do TV. It's bad for me.
Bad. Yes.
And now some of the best writing is television.
Everybody wants to go to television now.
So this is Epic's win?
In October.
Premise?
What's that?
Premise of the show?
Well, it's about the Godfather of Harlem, which is Forrest Whitaker.
Okay.
He plays, remember Bumpy Johnson?
Yeah,
Bumpy Johnson.
Sure,
he plays sure. Bumpy Johnson. And it's from the, you know, it's all period, 60s, 70s. It's
sure.
Really, really good, very good.
And you are?
I play Joe Bonanno.
And do you survive? Oh, that's ruining it. Sorry, I don't want to give away the
No, Joe Bonanno survives.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Dean, we got a texter here that somebody says their company, their HR department, emailed them instructions on how to fall.
Oh, on how to fall.
On how to fall.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, that's helpful as well. Maybe we'll print those. Look, Chaz Palminteri originally wrote and performed A Bronx Tale when? 1989?
1989. I wrote in 88. It's 30 years I've been doing this. You know,
it seemed like 30?
No, it doesn't. No. But it's the first time anything ever went from a one-man show to a major movie to a Broadway musical.
Right.
Yeah.
If people have been asking you to do this for a while?
I've always wanted to do a musical. Tommy Mottola is really the guy who made it happen, the producer. He said, look, this is a great musical. It's a great story. It was a success as one-man show, as a movie. Why can't it be a success as a musical? And we had Alan Menken, 8-time Academy Award winner,
okay.
You know, writes the music. Glenn Slater, 3-time Tony nominee. Bob De Niro, who directed the one-man show. Jerry Zaks, 4-time Tony winner, who directed... Jerry Zaks directed the one-man show. Bob directed the movie. They co-directed it. Sergio Trillo, who did 3-time Tony nominee as far as...
So this is the A-team, top to bottom.
This is top to bottom. So,
who would have thought, though, that, you know, you got a Chaz Palminteri, you got a Joe Pesci in the original movie, De Niro, who stars in it and directed the original movie as well. Let's make a musical and get De Niro to direct the musical on top of it.
Right.
Yeah. When was the last great mob musical?
Probably, let's see, Guys and Dolls.
Ah, there you go.
Guys and Dolls, I would say. That was a great...
Been a couple of years.
Oh, that's been a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
50 years old, yeah.
Texture says, A Bronx Tale is one of the great mob movies ever, right up there with Goodfellas, The Godfather, The Godfather 2. Chaz Palminteri is brilliant, hilarious, and still makes me laugh and still makes me cry. How about that? That about sums it up, doesn't it?
That's pretty nice. I don't read reviews, but...
Your mom to stop texting.
I would argue that
we wouldn't have Sopranos or
I agree.
At least there had to be some of Sopranos had to be based on the strong, rich, funny, tragic characters that we saw in A Bronx Tale.
Well, it might have been it's always nice when somebody imitates you. It's a serious form of flattery, they say, so it's fine. It's a great TV show of Sopranos.
Yeah, without a question. Bronx Tale is going to play at Broadway in Chicago's James M. Niederlander Theater for a very short run, March 12th through the 24th. You need to get your tickets immediately.
Absolutely. I mean, when you see it as a musical, if you love the movie, if you love the one-man show, you love it even more as a musical, because I was able to adapt more, talk about my family more. The songs by Alan Menken and Glenn Slater are phenomenal. The direction, there's dancing, singing. You will laugh. You know, Alfred Hitchcock used to say there's only three things you could do to an audience, and if you do two out of three, you got to hit.
What were the three?
You can make them laugh, you can make them cry, or you can scare them. And in Bronx Tale, we do all three.
Is that right?
That's right. We make you laugh, we make you cry, and we scare you.
Yeah.
So,
and the order changes from act to act.
It does. You're right. But people just, you see, they stand up and cheer at the end, they're crying, they're cheering. It's a really great evening. It really is.
Sounds like you're quite proud of it, and I'm sure
you
should
be. Very proud, yes.
BroadwayInChicago.com. Dean, thank you.
People are often crying at the end of this segment also.
But for different reasons.
Wrong reasons.
For different reasons.
Yeah, usually with Chaz isn't here.
Because they fell.
That's right, because they fell on the ice.
But fortunately, Bernie the attorney was right there when they hit the concrete.
A lot of falling talk this morning. Headlines next, and then a couple more minutes with Chaz before he has to run and talk to some other people that he won't have as much fun with. Stand by for that, but first here's this.
This is A Bronx Tale, and it's my story. The world I lived in, the people I knew.
It's just a Bronx tale. And like they all do.
Chaz Palminteri wrote the book. Right, Chaz Palminteri wrote and performed his own one-man show, A Bronx Tale. Just tell me a great story about Robert De Niro off the air. Here I think you guys practically grew up together. And Robert De Niro, you didn't know him till you did A Bronx Tale.
That's correct. Yeah, everyone was bidding for it. You know, I got offered $250,000 when it first opened, and went up to $1 million. I had $200 in the bank, and I refused. I said, I play Sonny and I write the screenplay. Then after I turned,
and nobody wanted to give you a shot.
Nobody wanted to give me a shot.
They said, if I give you $1 million, I need a bankable name. One of those conversations.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because every star came to see it. They all wanted to play it.
Sure.
Every director, all these big-time directors, writers said, look, we want this. So that's why the price went up to $1 million. And I had $200, and I said, no. And then finally one day I did the show, and I got off stage, and the stage manager said, Robert De Niro just saw the show. He's in your dressing room waiting for you. I said, what? And he said, yeah. And I walked in the dressing room. There was Bob. And he called it the greatest one-man show he's ever seen. He goes, it's a movie. He goes, you did a movie on stage. He goes, this will make a great movie. I said, I know, Bob. And he said, look. He says, you should play Sonny. You'll be great as Sonny. And you should write it because it's your life. I'll play your father, and I'll direct it. We'll go partners. And he goes, if you shake my hand, that's the way it'll be.
And there's the deal.
That was the deal.
And the rest is history.
Is history.
Guy's friends to this day, obviously.
To this day, that's correct.
So he's as genuine as it gets.
He really is, yeah. Good guy, a good man.
What do you think would have happened if De Niro doesn't walk in your dressing room? Do you eventually take one of the other deals?
No. No, I think sooner or later somebody would have caved in. It was too good. I mean,
right, but the smart thing about De Niro was, look, I'm playing the dad. I got my name in the movie.
Yeah.
That'll bring some people in. The studios will be comfortable with it. We make the movie.
Exactly. Bob was directing, so he didn't want to play Sonny. That was the big part. He wanted to play the smaller part so he can concentrate on directing. Anyway.
Sure.
You know, it was very smart of him to do that.
Very smart. A Bronx Tale, again, March 12th through the 24th, the James M. Niederlander Theater, the Oriental for all those years. It's now the Niederlander. And if you go to BroadwayInChicago.com, you should get tickets. It's going to sell out. So, I mean, you need to get tickets. Get them today.
Right. You really do. I mean, the musical, when you see the musical, you're going to want to see it again. Really.
Right. There you go. So you go see it, and you take your friends and family.
Absolutely.
Back.
I guarantee you see it once, you want to see it again.
Got to ask you about a couple others.
Sure.
Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
I always tell people that never saw The Usual Suspects, I go, pee before the movie, because you don't want to miss a second of this movie.
You can't miss a second.
You miss a second of this movie, you're going to come back and go, what the hell happened?
Exactly. Listen, I'm in the movie, and I don't know what happened.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because if people don't know, movies are shot out of sequence. Depends on scouting locations and people's schedules. A movie like that.
Right.
Where you read the script and you're going, what?
Oh, listen to this. I was shooting another movie right after that, so I only had 8 days, and they had to shoot me out in 8 days.
8 days.
So we started, me and Kevin Spacey, in a room for 8 days straight, and then I left and they started the movie.
Is that right?
How's that?
All right, so you go to the premiere or whatever, you end up seeing the final cut.
Right.
What did you think?
Well, I thought it was brilliantly done. I mean, Bryan Singer is just a terrific director.
Right.
And he made it, and I was like, wow, this thing is like, but you got to follow it now.
You got to follow it.
Until this day, Gabriel Byrne still thinks he's Kaiser Sose. Till this day, this is true. And we say, Gabriel, get over
You're
it.
You're not.
It's not you.
It's not you.
He goes, no, Kevin's a red herring. I'm telling you, it was me.
When your 8 days were up and you left and went to do the other film, were you calling back to them and saying, how's it going? What are you filming now?
Not really.
You dropped it and you
I
moved
just,
out.
I just shot. It was like doing a play for 8 days with Kevin, and then I left, and they started going.
I always heard talk of a sequel. I don't know how you make a sequel to that movie, but was there really talk?
You know, let me tell you something. When the movie came out, I was the first one to go to Chris McQuarrie, who wrote the screenplay. I said, Chris, I'm telling you, this is a franchise.
Yeah.
You know, Kaiser Sose, you know, they weren't doing franchises back then.
Right.
And he said, I don't know, because, look, he wrote his first script, he won the Academy Award.
Right.
You know, he was scared.
Yeah.
You know, what am I going to do? I'm going to write this again? So
the only way to go now is to fall off the set.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, so he really just, then, you know, maybe one day he'll do it. I don't know.
Because it always felt to me like, and again, I have such respect for this movie, I won't even ruin it this many years down the road.
Right.
Because I know people haven't seen it.
Right.
But that felt like you could do a prequel tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Right?
No question. But maybe one day he'll do it. I don't know.
The movie itself, A Bronx Tale, when you put that together and you start working on it.
Yeah.
Hollywood's notorious, even though you had De Niro working on it with you.
I know just what you're going to say.
Hollywood's notorious for saying, I need a cute kid in a car chase. We got to get it in here immediately, something like that.
Oh, no, listen to this. The first big note they gave me after, you know, when they read the script, they said, look, Sonny can't die. He has to live. And I said, what? They said, Sonny can't die. He's got to live. I said, no, you don't understand. Sonny has to die. And they're sitting around the table and they're telling me, no, Sonny's got to live because people are going to be down about it. I go, look, listen to me. I go, it's a catharsis. Sonny dies, so the boy learns and lives on.
Right.
He moves on when Sonny dies.
Right.
He connects with his father.
Right.
It's called the catharsis. That's what happens.
Yeah.
I know. I said, look. Then I spoke to Bob alone. I said, Bob, Sonny's got to die.
Yeah.
And he goes, don't worry. They won't even talk to you no more. So he told me, he says, don't talk to the kid no more. And then from that moment on, when I would see them in the hall, they would turn their heads and walk away.
Did those meetings change when you get more successful?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the first time you're in the meeting there, you're trying to be nice. But I knew. I mean, I was always opinionated.
Sure.
And don't forget, I didn't.
And confident.
And confident. I was always confident. And I knew the story. I said, look, Sonny's got to die. But Bob was more like, yeah, we'll think about that.
You know? Right. And the meeting, yeah. Go do what we want.
Yeah, we'll think. And then we leave the meeting. He goes, we're just going to do what we want. So don't worry about it. So I said, oh. I was like, no, Sonny's not dying.
I believe in show business. Forgiveness and permission is a rule that applies more than any other business on the planet, where you look management in the eye, whatever management turns out to be, and you go, I got to think about it.
That's my standard line now.
You go, do what you want.
You know what I'm going to think
you
about?
You go, look, I'm sorry. I just felt like we had to do our thing.
Yeah, you just go, that's a great idea. You have to say that's a great idea now. That's a great idea, but you know what?
Honor the idea and then do what you should do.
And then do what you want to do. Yeah.
More with Chaz in just a second. One of the really good guys in show business, and the list is not that long. There's Chaz and about four other guys. A Bronx Tale, James M. Niederlander Theater, BroadwayInChicago.com. Opens on the 12th. You got to be there.
That girl right there. Am I the only one who sees those lips, that hair, those eyes that knock me to my knees?
A Bronx Tale, one of your favorite movies. It's on stage at the James M. Niederlander Theater, March 12th through the 24th. Chaz Palminteri did it originally. Of course, he wrote the book. Music by Alan Menken. Directed by Jerry Zaks and Robert De Niro. What, you couldn't get any better?
I know. We got like the A-team, the dream team today.
Really? Can you sing?
Yes, I can. Very well.
Yeah? And have you always been a singer?
I started as a singer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when I, again, I'm not in the show here, but I was on Broadway, and that was wonderful, yes.
Yeah. So you're growing up where? What part of New York?
I grew up in the Bronx.
In the Bronx.
187 and Belmont Avenue.
Okay. So you're growing up there, you know, we're in the same generation. You're growing up there, and you're going, I really want to be an actor.
Yes.
How'd that go over in the neighborhood?
Well, you know, they looked at me like, you want to be an actor. What are you going to wear bell bottoms next? You know,
right. What do you mean? You're not going to get a job? What do you mean you want to be an actor?
But you know what's funny? My mom and dad always said, if that's what you want, I think it would be great.
Wow, were they ahead of their time?
Way ahead of their time. Way. But because they both were, they wanted to do what I did, you know, but they couldn't do it because they got married. And that's why my father used to say, don't waste your talent, son. Don't.
Chase what your dream is.
Chase your dream. Because he got, you know, he got married and he had the children and, you know, he got a job as a bus driver.
Big family?
Two sisters.
What do they do?
Both of my sisters are very successful. One of my sisters is a teacher. She's got like two masters. And my other sister, my older sister, she owned a travel agency. She ended up having 30 travel agencies.
No kidding. Oh,
wow. Sold them all, made a fortune, and retired in Florida.
Good thing you had success. You'd be borrowing money off of her.
Oh, you ain't kidding. I was the last one to be successful, too.
Yeah, and what do they think when they see your stuff?
They're very happy. They're very excited.
Got to be thrilled.
They're thrilled, especially my mom and dad. dad, they saw all my success. They never got a chance to see the musical because they passed away. My mom passed away a year before the musical. But that's okay. They saw all my success.
And your parents both lived into their 90s. You got a nice long run still to come,
yeah,
my friend.
My mother was 97. My father was 91.
Anyway, I tell people all the time, my grandmother lived to be 101, but my dad only made 68, so I'm hoping for the middle.
You're hoping for the middle.
That's it. How are the kids?
The kids are great. My kids are great. They're both in the business.
Yeah, what are they doing?
And I tell them the same thing. You know, I tell them the saddest thing in life is wasted talent, and they work really hard. My son's 23. Dante, his name is Dante Palmentieri. He's a singer-songwriter and an actor. He's been on Law and Order. He's been on Orange is the New Black.
I've seen him. Good-looking kid.
Good-looking kid.
Yeah.
He's really.
Yeah.
And my daughter, Gabriella, she's 17, and she's now... so excited. She's been, she was on Blue Bloods, a bunch of shows. She's a singer, dancer, actress. Really talented.
You haven't had to give any of the boyfriends a good hard handshake yet, have you? Look me right in the eye.
No, I just tell them. I said, you know what I do, right? I said, yeah. I said, before you do anything, check my movies out.
Right, see a few of these.
See a few of my movies before you take my daughter out. That's all I have to say.
There's been a lot of talk this week about Bradley Cooper and singing with Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
You know, and he was an actor that had to train to sing because he wasn't a singer. And you started as a...
Bradley was terrific. I thought he was terrific. I thought he did a great job.
I was curious if a natural singer, if you were more critical of someone that isn't a natural singer.
It doesn't really matter. You know, his pitch was perfect. He sang on key and his pitch was good and his tone was good. I thought he was terrific.
Yeah, I agree.
Anybody you haven't worked with that you still want to work with? I mean, you worked with everybody.
I never worked with Marty Scorsese. You believe that?
Come on.
I've always wanted to. I mean, I met him a bunch of times.
He's here. Let's bring him out right now. Marty, come on in. Let's cut a deal.
I got to tell you, I always wanted to play a priest. People always ask me, is there a role you never played? I said, yeah, I want to play a priest. I'm dying to play a priest.
Makes total sense.
I don't know. I just want to play a street priest, like.
Right.
Like a tough street priest, you know?
Right. Right. Kids in the hood?
I'm going to have to write it myself. That's it.
Now, what's the process for writing? You do it a particular time every day?
In the morning. I'm a morning person. I wake up in the morning and I write.
You an early riser?
Well, no, 7. That's not that early.
No.
You know, that's not that early. Some people get up at 5, 4.
Four. Yeah. I'm 24. That's why I look like this. I get up at 4.
Listen, it's going to be. You're going to come and see the show.
Now. I'm going to come see the show.
I'm telling you, you're going to see it, and then you're going to want to see it again.
No doubt.
And come and see it the first night, opening night.
Sure.
There might be a big surprise there. I don't want to say anything.
Oh.
I look forward to it, and my mother, a great fan of the theater. I'm going to bring my mom.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're going to see, you might have a surprise there the first night. I don't want to say nothing.
You're going to call me up to do a scene, aren't you? Just read cold. Come on, get up here.
How'd you know that?
You know, I'm the tough guy neighbor. It's A Bronx Tale. It's one of my favorite movies. I'm sure it is one of yours, too. It's Chaz Palminteri and the James M. Niederlander Theater, March 12th through the 24th. Get your tickets now. And you know what? Do yourself a favor. Since you know you're going to invite your friends or family, book the second show.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Pick the second show now.
You will.
Yeah.
You will.
BroadwayInChicago.com. It's been too long. Great to see you, man.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
9 o'clock. We'll come back with the news next from the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom after this.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
In a few days, I'll let you know who I'm supporting, and I hope that you all will join me to support whoever it is, because the only way we're going to move this place forward is by joining together and getting it done.
This campaign may end tonight, but the fight for Chicago's future does not. Because everyone deserves to share in this city's promise, not just a few. I'm proud that we gave it our best shot.
I congratulate Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot on their victories. One of them will have the honor of being the next mayor of Chicago.
We worked shoulder to shoulder to shape a campaign that reflects our vision, our values, and our hopes for Chicago.
We need to continue to have this very important dialogue about our city's future, about the narrative of who we are going to be, to break from the past and have a vision for the future that includes all of us.
That is a compilation of folks who didn't win last night, and we could only get the first 200 in. Last night, Lori Lightfoot came in first. Tony Preckwinkle came in second. Their runoff happens on April 2nd. And if you're trying to figure out who Lori Lightfoot is, one good way to do it would be go to the Steve Cochran Bonus Show podcast. We've got all the mayors up there, right?
Actually, that's not a bonus show podcast. That's a clip from the show.
Yeah, that's from the show.
Okay.
They're all there. You can search them. I re-listened to Lori Lightfoot this morning and Tony Preckwinkle.
So you can listen to, you've heard more of Tony Preckwinkle, but you can certainly hear both. And I think they answered stuff here they didn't normally talk about. And certainly you could hear Lori Lightfoot on the coldest day in history, who made her way in here to talk.
Yeah, and the thing that that stood out that I had not remembered is when we talked about the fiscal cliff that the city is on right now, the state, showing their background, Lori Lightfoot said, she pointed out how much litigation costs us, and then Tony Preckwinkle had pointed out that the workman's comp, because, you know, she deals with more. Mm-hmm. She knew the numbers on what workman's comp costs because of the employees. So
I was asking her how much money she saved the county.
Yeah,
I think was the answer to that question. All right, texters. Listen, we have great texters, including the ones that don't like me. But let me run through a few here. Anyone notice Mary Vanderbilt? Vanderbilt. Hey, Vanderbilt, are you there?
Yeah.
Mary Vanderbilt touches her cheek when she signs off. Obviously, I'm watching CLTV.
Yeah, I put my monitor down today too. Did you notice that?
Do you have any comments on touching your fist?
No, but Justin brought that up as well.
Yeah, it's not
a while ago.
Justin wanted to hear that it was kind of like a Carol Burnett nod to one of her children.
Oh, that I don't know why I do
you
it.
Do it all.
I know
throughout.
I do
it's
it.
Not just for CLTV.
I think it's a signal to somebody.
Yeah. Well, maybe it is. I'm not going to divulge that.
Mary, are you any relation to Judy Sansevelt?
What?
That's Mary Vanderbilt's cousin. Yeah. Michael Cohen, this is 608.
I had Gloria's money, by the way.
Michael Cohen is going to jail for lying to Mueller, which is a crime. He'll likely look into the cameras today and lie to Congress. Listen, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but the guy's going to jail for lying. He's under oath, and he'll go to jail for longer if he lies today. That's a special kind of crazy that I simply don't buy into. And he's also bringing proof that Donald Trump is a liar. Beyond all what we already know, he is presenting the truth to Congress right now. You don't have to believe it. Believe whatever you want to believe, but facts don't lie. Steve from the 224, really enjoyed your interview with Chaz Palminteri. What a genuine guy. I have to admit I was a bit scared of him, but now I feel I'd be comfortable having lunch with him in separate restaurants, of course. 773, Bronx Tale is a great movie. Best part of the whole film is in the Mickey Mantle line when Sonny says, Mickey Mantle doesn't care about you, so why should I? People texting in about Analyze This.
No, I fought the urge to come in and get a picture because he's one of my favorite actors.
Oh, you should always come in.
Just I'm not going
to
be that guy.
Listen, Steve, if you're ever going to annoy a guest, I'll tell you to stay up. They would have loved you. But let's get to the main topic other than the Michael Cohen and mayoral topics of the day. And that's Dave fell on the ice. Dave, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. I'm sorry I brought it up, frankly.
Shouldn't be, because the listeners are benefiting from your pain.
Relatable.
If we're doing a service, then I'm glad.
And, of course, then we found out that everyone has fallen.
Particularly Rick, the old white guys.
Yeah, that seems to be the issue. Rick Wells had surgery. Who else had surgery? Somebody else had surgery.
Jen DeSalvo.
Oh, yeah, Jen DeSalvo's husband. Jen DeSalvo's
husband. Julia, who works here.
Julie.
Did Julie have surgery?
She did. Yeah, wrist surgery.
Julie, one of our management team.
Remember, folks, you have to walk like a penguin when you're on the
ice. Yeah. So, Steve, it's funny they say that because I have some tips. I have nine steps on how to fall
on
ice.
I need to admit that I fell.
Yes.
I think people listen to it regularly.
You kicked off the falling.
I still... It's funny because I noticed this last night. It's got to be 3 weeks.
Yeah. It's 3 weeks. Amy moved into her house.
Yeah, it's 3 weeks. So I get into bed last night and I still, on my left hip, I'm a little sore.
I'm still going, oh.
Yeah.
I say you should walk like Tim Conway. That's what I say.
Oh, like Dorf? Dorf on ice?
The old man, when he played the old man in Tim Conway?
Yeah, that's Dorf.
Oh, Dorf. Okay. Yeah.
So you fell on your left side also?
I fell on my left side. I went left hip, left arm. Right. And then my head snapped back and hit the sidewalk.
Right. Well, with the size of that head, you knew that was going to go down at some point.
You can't hold it up.
Yeah.
You just can't hold it up.
It's like a kettlebell.
So before you get to your tips.
Kettlebell.
815, falling is no fun. My 42-year-old daughter fell before Christmas, still not back to work. Wow. Makes me nervous. I've never fallen. Boy, that's a streak you want to keep going. Let's see. Chaz Palminteri's hilarious. Walk like a penguin. That's another texter. A Bronx Tale, great. I mean, a lot of people loving the Chaz Palminteri. Steve, whatever happened in taking small baby steps? That's a texter. Cookie? 630, how to tell if you're young or old. If you fall down and people laugh, you're young. If you fall down and people run to help you, you're old.
That's good. Yeah,
well, that is unless good. No one sees you.
Right.
And Margaret from Bridgeport says, Old White Guys Falling, the new TLC show starring Steve, and he'll host it.
I love it.
All right, so you have tips sent to
us. I have nine. Well, I looked them up myself.
Oh, these are internet tips.
These are WikiHow tips.
So this is how to fall safely.
How to fall and recover when you've fallen on ice.
All right, tip number one.
Tip number one. You should wear gloves, wrist guards, knee, and elbow pads.
It's like the entire winter?
Geez, why don't you just crawl while you're at it?
Okay, so we're going to basically dress like Barry Bonds before he retired.
Put your hands on your waist or on your hips at all times.
So you're prepared.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay.
Practice falling. Try trying to fall without hurting yourself.
Well, where are you going to do that in the winter? Like in a snowbank?
Bend your knees into a dip position.
While you walk?
Yes.
Okay.
Fall to the side and lean forward as you fall on ice. Try not to fall backwards.
Fall to the side and lean
and forward.
Is this practice or when you're falling?
That's when you're falling.
But see, here's the problem with that. Falling is a surprise. So you have to assume you're going to fall.
Right. You just have to assume you're going to fall with those knee pads and elbow pads you're wearing.
Yeah, that would be it.
That's why you rehearse.
Right.
Okay.
Recover from your fall. So turn over and get on your hands and knees.
Well, I had to, Dave. I don't know about you. I had to crawl out of the ice that I was in. I literally couldn't stand up. Well, it was that slippery.
You were on a slopey.
Yeah, I was on this patch of ice. It was so slippery, I couldn't stand up. I had to crawl out of the ice. And again, I'm disappointed more neighbors weren't laughing. I mean, you should have gotten something out of it.
Take one foot and place it between your hands as you're trying to get up.
Wait, what? Oh, to help you stand up.
Yeah. What is this, Twister?
Put one foot. We repeat that again. Right?
Put one foot between your hands as you stand up.
And then bring the other foot between your hands as well.
Well, what is this? Is this sort of game now?
Push yourself up and stand. Who thinks that much when they fall?
It is like Twister, Mary.
You got the red square.
Put your right hand in.
That's the hokey pokey. Anyway, so basically if you just wear the knee pads, the elbow pads, and the wrist guards all the time, you're safe. Maybe a helmet.
Yeah. Got to have a helmet.
One more texter. I'm a 61-year-old white guy. Last week I slipped while using my snowblower on the driveway. I fell so hard that my older and much whiter neighbor came out to check on me.
Oh, here you go, Steve. A 64-year-old white guy. Left hip replacement in November. Fell on the ice and landed on left knee in February. Titanium hips save the day.
Ah, there you go. Yep. So we all need to get titanium hips before we fall and need titanium hips.
Or knees.
I'm sorry. Here's one more. Fell on the ice on Monday. Felt fine. Sneezed in pain horrible. Broken rib.
Oh, well, that's no good.
So, Dave, do you...
I haven't sneezed.
Okay. All right.
But I don't think I hit my ribs.
Listen, the textures keep coming. It's tremendous. And again, it's not just old white guys, but it's mostly old white guys.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Another texture says, I work at NICOR. We have an ice simulator trailer. Well, they hook us up to a harness. The floor of the trailer's like ice. They teach us how to walk on ice in the ice trailer. Do not do the penguin shuffle. Walk like a soldier, flat-footed, lifting your knees up, keeping your body relaxed, and looking forward.
Okay.
Okay. The body relaxed, I think, is key.
I think it's cool that NICOR has an ice trailer.
That is cool.
You know?
Yeah, that is...
630, Dorf and the old man are two different characters, Steve.
I was going to say that.
Is that true?
Well, you know, because Dorf...
Dorf's the guy in the ground?
Yeah.
Exactly. No legs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought
he's got,
so.
He's got the shoes, right?
Is this the only time I've ever been wrong on this show? Dorf was when Conway stood in the holes on the golf course. The old man has the white wig and walked real slow.
Yeah. Did he have a name?
Old guy.
I think his name is Mr. Tudball. No, wait, that's...
That might be... No, Mr. No, no, Mr. Tudball's the... Is it?
No, Mr. Tudball is the Mrs. Wiggins, a good Jew. Come in here, please.
Ah, that's right. That's
Mrs.
right.
Mrs. Wiggins. I love
yes,
her.
Yes, 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 yes. 312-9170-200. Ro will join us in a little bit. Michael,
I wonder if he's an old white guy that's fallen.
Ro's must have fallen at this point. I'm 57.
Oh, he fell on the golf course, didn't he, last year? That's why he had that ankle issue.
He fell on a golf course?
Yeah.
He had a swollen ankle.
Why? Getting out of the cart?
How did he
fall on the golf course?
In a bunker? He definitely fell. I remember his ankle was swollen when he was in here.
He tripped over a divot.
Golf, the injuries are generally repetitive stress injuries, your knees, your joints, that kind of thing. Or some idiot behind you hits you with the ball.
No, he definitely fell because I remember this one.
I'm going to have to ask him about that, I guess, aren't I?
Yep.
Michael Cohen has taken the oath and is now testifying to the House Oversight Committee in Congress. Taking the oath means everything he says from this point must be true, or he will go to jail for even longer than he's already going to jail. And for those of you who hear this today, that he's a liar, keep in mind that he lied in the service of Donald Trump.
I'm not laughing at you. We have a young Asian guy here, fell on buttocks on ice. The solution...
ice your buttocks?
Ice your buttocks, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a 50-year-old white guy fell back in the first snow in November. He broke a rib, but he didn't drop his coffee mug.
Well, you got to have priorities.
Isn't that funny? A lot of people get hurt trying to save a silly thing like a coffee mug, you know, like, and so you jump.
Well, I was concerned about my phone. Yeah, my phone was in my pocket, and I was concerned I fell on my phone. Well, on top of the fact that you break your screen, you could cut yourself...
Sure, it's dangerous. And actually, that was the good thing. I fell on my left side because my phone was in my right pocket.
Same here, exactly. So that's my falling tip. Fall on the side your phone's not in.
Don't fall on your phone.
Yeah, it's very important. Very, very important. And a couple, again, Roe being here in a little bit, but a couple of last points on the mayor's thing for those of you just waking up to all of this. I guaranteed you that Bill Daley and Tony Preckwinkle would make the runoff.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, one of my guarantees has proven to be absolutely 50% accurate. So you can always count on me. Hawks back on the ice tonight, and Corey Crawford likely to be in net. We don't know for sure, but that's what we're thinking.
Well, certainly on this road trip.
Yeah.
If it's not tonight.
I think it's tonight. It's too good a show business.
I think it will be.
I think it's tonight. Yeah. And where are they playing tonight, Dave?
Anaheim.
Okay.
At the Pond.
Remember
West Coast
when you
swing
asked
is on.
Jeremy Colleton if he was afraid the team was going to go over to Disney?
And you remember Jerry Colleton said, no, we're professionals. he loves me. He just doesn't know it yet. It's 9:30. Headlines are next on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Steve Cochran at 9:40. And let me bring Ro Khan in. Hi, Ro. Ro?
Yes. I'm here.
Did you think whispering would be a good call?
I'm having emotional issues right now.
Is it because you were wrong?
Yeah, Sandberg did a table of all of our picks, and I was 50% right, which is, you know, a big number because you were 0% right.
We should start with 100. Justin was 100% right.
Yeah, he was.
Tony Preckwinkle again.
Well, Roe picked Byrne and Bolandic. I thought that would be a problem right away.
I did too. But I like classics, you know, so that's the, that's the way I look at it. Yeah. I will say this.
You went with Wilson and Daly.
I did.
So, to remind people.
Right. But I did, yesterday offer up a superfecta that had Wilson, Daly, not in that order. It was actually Daly, Preckwinkle, Lightfoot, and then Wilson. So you had
Lightfoot in your four.
I had in my four. So if you'd boxed that bet... Mary, and I think you come from a sporty family. You understand these things. You've been out to Arlington Park.
Right.
If you had boxed that bet on a $2 box, which would have cost you $48, it would have paid $64. Okay. So that's all I'm saying.
All right. I'm going to call Ron Majors and see if this holds water with him. But still, the runoff is only two people, and neither of your four, you weren't, of when you gave me two, they weren't the correct ones.
I seem to be the only one that thinks that Bill Daley didn't want the job. That he was only half in to begin with, because the absolute peak excitement he had was his concession speech last night.
Well, he conceded before he needed to concede.
Absolutely.
That was really kind of interesting.
Well, let's see. We got 40,000 outstanding mail-in ballots. You're 5,000 behind. Hey, I'm out. I lost.
That's exactly what happened. I mean, it would have really been hard for him to catch up. But it was funny that because we were all sitting around. I was over at Channel 32 last night. And we're all sitting there watching this, and we stopped and thought, wait a second. Why is he out? Because and then it also kills the drama of the night. I mean, the thing was wrapped up by 9:30.
the whole TV thing was whack because he concedes too early. Lori Lightfoot's first place. She comes on before the 10 o'clock news. The 10 o'clock news starts. Bridget Gaynor is doing a 5-minute stand-up set because Tony Preckwinkle's not in the house yet. I mean, come on. It's not that hard.
Well, I think that the Bridget Gaynor appearance last night is not in any way a surprise or unplanned. They're going to need Bridget because Laura's
I'm just saying,
powerful.
How could Preckwinkle not be in the room?
Because I think they wanted her up there. No, I think they wanted her.
No, but after Bridget said, and now,
yeah, well, that
here's Tony Preckwinkle. And then she's, they're going, she'll pull up in a second. She's caught in traffic. There's an Uber in front of her.
You're saying it's strategy, though, right? Aren't
you? It was strategy to have her there.
Yeah.
But I think Steve's point is that when you finally do get the signal, like she's here, somebody gave her the wrong signal.
I mean, thank God they had Bridget there. She actually kept the crowd.
But the strategy is there for her to keep the votes for Tony. She's going to be attached at the hip to Tony Preckwinkle for the next 5 weeks because they need her to go appeal to the lakefront, Lincoln Park, Wrigleyville area because
red-haired Irish people,
very strong, and Irish people, red-haired Irish people, Beverly. Right? I mean, that's where she's originally from.
Yeah. And by the way, Bridget Gaynor is now a regular contributor to this program every Friday. So she'll be in here Friday.
Good timing.
Apparently with Tony Preckwinkle.
Just apparently. Yeah.
Being attached to the hip like that. All right. So, look, I think this is a great thing for Chicago. I think this is a very interesting turn. The big questions, of course, are this. Is Lori Lightfoot in any way ready to run a company the size of the city of Chicago? Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, in terms of her professional experience, I mean, obviously she's qualified. She has been, you know, she's been in federal government. She's been in local government in terms of being part of the, you know, COPA or whatever it was called at the time, the Police Accountability Board. But she's, you know, been a lawyer for a long time in a major firm. I have no fear of that. I mean, was Bill Daley ready to do it? Right. I mean, he's got not a dissimilar resume in a lot of ways. So,
yeah, but Daley's been around for years. He had his Washington experience. You know, there's the bring in an organizational thing that I think is a question with Lori Lightfoot. Does she have people she can bring in that are ready to help?
Well, I think that Tony Preckwinkle will be challenged on her organizational skills based on things that have happened at the county, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the problem is you have a record. In some respects, it's always better to have no record so people can't point to it.
Sure.
And then if you do have a record, people go, well, what about your security guy? What about this? What about that? And it could get pretty bare knuckle. Now, that's the interesting piece for me because the one thing that you're pointing to is a little bit of political inexperience here on Lori Lightfoot's part. Well, not a little bit, but some significant inexperience. Will she do the things? Will she put people and deputize them to do the kinds of things that you need to do in Chicago to win an election like this? The bare knuckle things.
Do we know that she can delegate?
Does she want to delegate that? Does she want to go? Because there's a way to go after Tony, and there will be a way to go after her. And I think Tony will probably take that road because she's been around this. You know, as Harold Washington most famously said, Chicago politics ain't a game played in short pants. And so this is going to be a.
You said it wasn't Willie Wilson?
I'm sure. Although, you know what? Willie did get 10%. God bless him. He got the double digits.
Yeah.
The other, you know what was really kind of shocking?
And did you notice in his speech he didn't concede? Willie did not concede in his speech. He did say, well, been an interesting night. And I'll talk to you later.
Well, because he made one, he's hoping that maybe there will be a complete recount.
Yeah.
It was really interesting how poorly everybody else did, though. I was really.
Well, Mendoza, sort of, right?
Yep. Mendoza, a total surprise and lack of traction. Gary Chico, I think, was there as a counterweight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you had Gary Chico and Susana Mendoza kind of taking votes away from each other.
You know what I knew Jerry Joyce was trouble when he made that comment about a giant sucking sound? Jerry Joyce turned out to be Bill Daley's Ross Perot.
For sure. Well, then the question is, why was he there? Especially after everything, the connectivity between the Joyce family and the Daley family over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Why was Jerry Joyce there? And Jerry Joyce did very, very well south, you know, Beverly Mount Greenwood. That was the idea. He's from there. I was at an event down there on Sunday, and he stayed the entire time. And I thought, man, well, that's kind of weird. Well, because you, on the Sunday before an election, you got to be in a million places to be competitive.
Yeah.
And I think, and he was just solidifying his base. The early voting in Beverly was huge. Down south was huge. And that, obviously, that was his 7%.
Well, it just still comes back to what I said. Daley didn't want it. I mean, he just didn't work hard enough.
But how do you get Joyce out? I mean, there are a lot of questions. And that was the thing. I've never seen a field of 14 where people didn't get... I'll be honest with you, Steve. I don't think anybody really wants this job because they know what the next 4 years is going to be. So it's really left to like an ideologue, like an idea. Idealist, I should say, like Lori Lightfoot, and a boss, you know, kind of a rough and tumble boss like Toni Preckwinkel has shown herself to be.
So, will they hit each other, or will they talk about what they really want to do with the city?
Both, but I think that it'll be interesting to see who throws the first face shot.
I think Toni already did last night. She kind of said it in her thing.
That was a glancing blow. That was almost a head fake. That was like, hey, I'm going to come at your head. Let's see how you move. And I think it's going to get pretty rough pretty fast here.
Of all the candidates we had in, those two had very clear stance on things, you know, like they weren't just throwing out there like, well, we need to recognize the neighborhoods with no,
yeah, there weren't generalities, you
know? Yeah, they had very yeah, specific things that they have planned for the city, so mm-hmm, should be interesting. Not a lot of fluff, a lot,
yeah,
of substance.
Yeah, Lori Lightfoot was very impressive. Did you ever in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very
early.
Impressive.
You know, Anna DeVlantis, who used to work on your show before I stole her, mm-hmm, she was sort of an
tall
early
girl. Is that the one you're talking,
yeah,
about?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was early on said, watch out for her. She's going to be something. And of course, I'm like, what about Willie Wilson? And she turned out.
What about Blandick?
but you know, the thing is, we started to see this surge late when she got on television, when Lori got her ad on TV. It started to really work. That ad was incredibly effective, where she walks into the boardroom and turns on the light, you know, mm-hmm, kind of shows all the people sitting around the table. So that's obviously the narrative. It's going to be the people someone already sent versus the people no one sent. And that's could be effective. This was not a young turnout, but this was a pretty progressive turnout in the race. More progressive turnout than they thought it was going to be. Now, let us not forget something. Mary, can you write this down in your little book where you're keeping all these notes,
yes,
that are so important for you?
Yes,
so that
I
you can keep bringing up my, uh-huh, shortcomings. Uh-huh. You are the, uh-huh, 18,000th woman to bring up my shortcomings. I,
right,
am sick and tired of this,
right,
now.
It's gone on your whole life.
I would
life
say the common, yeah, thing there isn't all of us women. It's the you being wrong there.
Just all right, wrong. So here we go. Okay. Here's something that is very important to note. Between the two of them, they got 33% of the vote last night.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Which means 67% didn't.
Right. And so you got to figure out how you're going to claw back that the rest of those people. Are they going to stay in this? You know, neither of them alone last night. And Toni Preckwinkel, you stop and think about that. She is the chairman of the Cook County Democratic Committee, and she only got 16% of the vote.
Right.
In this, and I know,
yeah, and
people.
And by the way, we counted the millennials that were registered versus the millennials that voted. There was my, yeah, son Ross, and then one other.
Right.
Yeah,
that's all
very,
of them.
Very, very low.
You and know, Ro, though, you said they got 33% of the 34% of people that voted. But I know a lot of people, my sister included, they were waiting for the runoff because they felt there were too many. So I don't, right, know.
But that's the thing. That's like a Republican in 2016, right, going, well, I'm going to see who gets there.
Like, I'm just saying, Ro's math there of the 33% of the 34% that showed up. There's another group of people out there that may just vote in this second.
Okay, I understand, but the point is that they still, these are very small numbers, and nobody lit this place on fire. That's
absolutely
an important
true
issue.
That's true.
And if you look at the, I split this into two camps last night, the Brexit strategy, leave and stay. So who wants government the way it has been and wants, you know, that sort of continuation of business as usual versus those who want to shake it up and go in a different direction? And Lori is from the leave, and Toni is from the stay. Now, the stay overall had 55% of the vote last night, and the leave had 45%. Mm-hmm. So Lori has an uphill battle.
This afternoon with Roe, he will have an opportunity to pick from a wide menu of the end of Donald Trump, which includes Michael Cohen presenting 3 years of financial statements to Congress in open testimony in the last half hour, but also direct evidence linking Donald Trump, Roger Stone, WikiLeaks, and Russia, and direct evidence of a check written by Donald Trump. Again, a check. Good God, man. Get a money order. Have someone get you a bag of cash. If you've never seen a Chaz Palminteri movie, go get cash. $35,000 check written by Donald Trump to Michael Cohen. That's just some of the fun that Roe can have this afternoon.
And our attorney, Michael Monaco, is sitting right behind him over his left shoulder, and I think lightly dozing right now during the opening statement. It was a long night. It really was.
I'm watching him right now. And we got a texter that says, Steve Cochran's the best, and I do like Roe. So we got that going for us. Hi, wow. Cookie.
Steve, you have to break, but you have to keep Roe because we have an important falling question for him.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever fall on the ice? Stop lying. We know you did. Stand by.
The combination of my experience as a local elected official and my experience in managing government, plus the vision that I shared earlier, make me uniquely qualified for this job.
What I hear from people is they're looking for a leader who has integrity, who's independent, who talks about the issues that are critically important, not only to uplift the quality of life in our neighborhood, but to restore confidence in our government, because we have so many people in this race who are running for cover, who are not willing to talk about the issues, or frankly worse, who aren't telling the truth about their own engagement and attachment and complicity in the machine that costs people real money.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Those clips are both from their visits on the show. You can hear the Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot interviews. Go to WGNradio.com.
Or on the WGN radio app. The podcast, you go to Steve Cochran Show podcast. Very easy.
Search it right there.
The nice thing about when you listen on the app is that you can go to other things on your phone and it doesn't stop playing. Whereas if you're listening on a website and things and you close out, you know, you're in trouble.
Rokan, before I ask you the falling question, you know my favorite part about people defending Trump claiming that Michael Cohen's a liar? Mm-hmm. Is the fact that he was convicted of lying for Trump. It's sort of like if John Gotti said Sammy the Bull was a hitman. Hey, that guy's a hitman!
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly the great irony of all of this. Although Republicans stupidity. Already started pretty heavy. They tried to stop this right before it started because they said they didn't get the paperwork in time. Mm. But everybody else got the CNN got the paperwork in time. Well, Fox crazy. Got the paperwork in time too.
Yeah.
So
it's
watching. But he's on. He's moving now. And I don't know. I think Americans look at a lot of this and go, yeah, okay, whatever.
But you can't. That's the thing. You can't go whatever. It's too big. It's too important. All right. Did you fall on the ice or not?
Yeah. No. Oh,
what? Not you.
Said no.
We're talking about old white guys here.
We all morning, Dave Bennett fell on the ice, and so did Steve Cochran in the last few weeks, Rose. So we were mm-hmm. talking about you falling on the ice, but then I remembered you fell on the golf course this summer.
I remember. I fall on the golf course every season.
You got that planned? I mean, is it a holiday?
I step in holes. I got a bad right ankle. And so when I will sometimes find a hole and step in it. Now, it is funny you should mention this, because this winter I have yet to have fallen. And now that you brought it up, I will. Thank you, Mary. I can't be more mad at you than I am.
It's really my fault, bro, because I brought it up, the fact I had fallen. And Mary Vandeveld's husband, Steve, has fallen 3 or 4 times. Marlene Wells' husband, Rick, was in surgery this week for falling on the ice.
Oh.
I fell on the ice. My head hit the ice, and I cracked all the ice in the world.
You saved us. I already fell on the ice. I started this bit a few weeks ago, remember, Bill?
Yeah.
Yep. But, Bill, you told me something off the air. It's very disturbing.
I fell in high school.
And you've not fallen
in
since.
In front of the two prettiest girls in our school.
No.
Yeah, right as I was walking to the school, they were right there.
Made
yeah.
no difference, Bill.
And one of them went, safe. I said, oh, that's not nice.
Which is why Bill has worn a baseball cap
ever since.
Yeah.
In tribute.
By the way, I hate doing a setup like this because it always kills it, but this won't. Bill's got a great Chaz story to tell you later on.
A Chaz Palminteri story
that
is the embodiment of show business.
I love him.
All right, Ro, this afternoon, 3 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
See you then.
Bye.
Back with the news right after this from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. If at any point during the next 4 years, either Preckwinkle or Lori Lightfoot cannot fulfill your duties as mayor, their duties as mayor, Wendy will be named mayor of the city of Chicago.
Is that how it works?
Yes.
All right, yeah. I'll take it. So I don't want it. Who am I kidding?
Right,
who wants that job?
Hello. See you guys tomorrow.